And remember, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. Get involved, turn off the TV, and go hit the streets. I'll see you tomorrow. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried after the revolution. This is the Quality News Network. At least 4 people were killed today in a shooting at a one-room Amish school in Pennsylvania. Authorities say the gunman, a 32-year-old milk truck driver, is among the dead. He took about a dozen girls hostage, then shot at least 3 of them execution style before killing himself. It was the 3rd deadly school shooting in the U.S. in less than a week. On Capitol Hill, former Representative Mark Foley, who resigned from Congress on Friday, has checked into a facility for treatment of alcohol abuse and emotional problems. That follows the revelation that he exchanged sexually inappropriate instant messages with at least 1 male page. In Washington, the White House is still refuting many of the allegations made in Bob Woodward's new book, State of Denial. Top officials defended the Bush administration and say they disagree with the book's premise that Mr. Bush misled the nation about how critical the situation in Iraq is. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice denied that she received a warning from the CIA about an imminent attack before the September 11th attacks. In the book, Woodward says Rice politely brushed off the CIA and director and counterterrorism chief during the alleged meeting on July 10th. In Washington today, the Supreme Court began its new term. Some of the topics the justices will decide on include the partial birth abortion law and the inclusion of race in public school admissions. The Supreme Court also has an unusually high number of business-related cases on its docket, or 17 of the 38 cases. Justices will hear arguments on cases from tobacco-related deaths to energy company emissions. South Korea's foreign minister has won an unofficial vote for the next Secretary General of the United Nations. Ban Ki-moon was the only one of 6 candidates to escape a veto. It's the 4th informal poll taken. An official vote is expected sometime in late October, which must then be voted on by the General Assembly for approval. The current UN Secretary General Kofi Annan leaves office on December 31st. In Iraq, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki hopes a 4-point peace plan unveiled today will end the bloodshed between Sunnis and Shiites. The plan calls for the reestablishment of local commissions to oversee security forces. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business News is next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Two Americans have won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for their work in the study of how genes function. It could open the door to new ways of fighting disease such as AIDS and cancer. Swiss-based pharmaceutical company Roche says it will produce more doses of Tamiflu. The company says it wants to ensure governments will be able to stockpile the vaccine for flu outbreaks. The American Journal of Psychiatry finds that men are about as likely as women to go on shopping binges. The study by researchers from Stanford University shows that 5.5% of men are compulsive buyers compared to 6% of women, and that men are more likely than women to become addicted to auctions. Morgan Stanley has obtained an onshore commercial banking license in China with its purchase of Nantong Bank. Financial terms of that deal were not disclosed. In September, the U.S. manufacturing sector grew at its slowest pace in more than a year. A trade group blames weaker U.S. auto sales and a slow housing market. The Commerce Department reports that in August, construction project spending unexpectedly went up to 0.3%. That was the biggest gain in 11 months. Light sweet crude settling at $61.03 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow down 9 points, NASDAQ down 21, S&P 500 down 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. You know, I think I need Mike Boom Viagra. You know, there's a lot of equipment that goes into setting up an operation like this, and some of the stuff you think about is more... I'm Bob Kincaid, by the way. Some of the stuff is more, shall we say, blasé than others. I mean, there's highfalutin mixing board and all kinds of technological wizardry that goes on, and there are things called mic booms. And it's a spring-loaded boom that holds the mic up, and you know, you can set it to where you are, and then, but I think the springs are going south because I set it here where I like to have it the next.
I gotta follow it down until, you know,
because it won't stay. We need Mic Boom Viagra here. Yeah, John, we got a little limp boom syndrome. It's just not performing like it used to.
That's okay.
Welcome to the program. Welcome to Monday. I figured we'd I figured I'd start out with a little bit of a giggle, because that may be the end of it tonight. Because, well, let's see. We have dead children in Pennsylvania. We have a sick, perverted Republican congressman. I realize that I'm engaging in redundancy at that point. Sick, perverted, and Republican, you know, they're interchangeable. Mommy, my tummy hurts. I feel Republican. You know, same thing as saying I feel sick. By the way, while we're all caught up in it's not astonishment. We're caught up in some of us going, we've been trying to tell you they're sick, they're perverted, they're twisted, they're really, really evil. Republicans, while we're caught up in all of that, may I hazard to remind you that the United States is now a torture state? Ugh. And as our good friend Shelby LaPrey over at RadioPower.org pointed out to me earlier, Bob Woodward's story has gone down the memory hole. Because we have to talk about kitty diddling congressmen. And, of course, the right-wing spin machine, I've got some examples for you this evening. They're operating on a separate planet right now. I mean, it's a Star Trek thing. The pod people have come out. Let's start with this morning. This morning on Chicken Noodle News, CNN, Conservative News Network, White House spokesgoober Tony Snow showed up to have a little tete-a-tete with Solenoid O'Brien. I think we should probably listen in. This is what the White House thinks of the Foley scandal.
I would assume everybody would want to know, including the president. I mean, we're not talking about any old person. We're talking about the leadership of the Republicans in Congress. Why would he not hear something that's disturbing or his office? Over-friendly. When I see that word as a parent, and I think any parent would say, whoa, over-friendly, any communication between a 16-year-old and a congressman, why doesn't that raise red flags? Major, massive red flags.
Yeah, look, I hate to tell you, but it's not always pretty up there on Capitol Hill, and there have been other scandals, as you know, that have been more than simply naughty emails. I guess, you know, look, again, I'll reiterate my point. I think it's important to protect these kids and make sure that they have a good experience. And look, like you want to find out what happened. But before we prosecute, let's figure out what all the facts are. That's probably the most important thing.
Can you back
to be
that up for a second?
Parties.
I don't want to listen to the whole thing. We have to listen to the whole thing all over again. Wait. What did he call them? Did I hear that right?
Naughty
emails?
Yeah.
Oh, spank me. I've been... zoot. Naughty, naughty zoot. She left the grail-shaped beacon on. You will have to spank her, good Sir Knight. Oh, Jesus. Naughty emails? Yeah, okay, one more.
I would assume everybody would want to know, including the president. I mean, we're not talking about any old person. We're talking about the leadership of the Republicans in Congress. Why would he not hear something that's disturbing or his office? Over-friendly. When I see that word as a parent, and I think any parent would say, whoa, over-friendly, any communication between a 16-year-old and a congressman, why doesn't that raise red flags? Major, massive red flags.
Yeah, look, I hate to tell you, but it's not always pretty up there on Capitol Hill, and there have been other scandals, as you know, that have been more than simply naughty emails. I guess, you know, look, again, I'll reiterate my point. I think it's important to protect these kids and make sure that they have a good experience. And like you want to find out what happened. But before we prosecute, let's figure out what all the facts are. That's probably the most important thing to do is to be fair to all parties.
Okay, Tony, let me help you, buddy. Here's the facts. Here's the facts. Your boy, Mark Foley, good, upstanding, God-fearing, right-wing Republican, was sending, not naughty, but quite possibly feloniously pederastic emails to little congressional pages of roughly 16 years. Okay? I just want to tell you, little lady, it's not always pretty up there on Capitol Hill. It makes it sound like the entire Congress is engaged in serial buggery. But you see, this isn't a Democratic scandal. No matter how hard the Republicans have tried, things like this have happened before that were much more serious. Clinton, Monica, damn it, can't you at least mention Monica once, you ignorant journalism woman? You were supposed to say Monica before you brought me on. Now I have to allude to it myself without saying her name. Monica was an adult, which was the crux of my objection all along. Monica was an adult, and Bill Clinton was an adult, and it was nobody's business. And, of course, we find out today that Mark Foley has checked into rehab because the booze made him a kitty diddler. You know, maybe this is like that old parody ad in Hustler where Jerry Falwell talked about, you know, his first time with his mother after getting loaded on some liquor or another. This is not a Democratic scandal. You can scream Bill Clinton till hell freezes over, but Bill Clinton wasn't diddling children. All right, this is just and we covered some of this Friday evening. This is just the latest in a long, long line of Republican kiddie rapists and kiddie abusers and kiddie diddlers and kiddie porn aficionados. All right. Let's see here. There was something I wanted to point out to you. I guess we'll call what Mark Foley did the Mel Gibson defense. Yeah, I ranted and raved and screamed about the Jews causing all the problems in the world. By the way, to all the Jewish listeners in the audience, I wish you a very peaceful Yom Kippur, which should have, I guess, ended by now. Sunset today, I'm not sure. At any rate, Robin Williams came out, because remember shortly after after Mel Gibson had his tirade, Robin Williams checked himself in. Mel Gibson's DUI arrest was a, quote, big wake-up call, unquote, for Robin Williams. The funny man tells Access Hollywood in an interview scheduled to air today, quote, if you're violating your standards faster than you can lower them, time to go away, he said. Great line. If you're violating your standards faster than you can lower them, time to go away. Because Robin Williams checked himself into alcohol rehab about 2 weeks after Gibson's Mel Gibson's tirade late in July. Robin Williams, of course, didn't blame the Jews for anything. He just realized it was time to stop drinking again. But you see, that's what Mark Foley has done. Mark Foley has engaged the Mel Gibson defense. I was making passes at little boys, but I was only doing it because I was stinking drunk. But it doesn't hold water, you understand. Booze didn't make him want little boys. Being a pedophile made him want little boys. It's and by the way, last Friday evening, Mr. Falafel, Miss, I'd put a bottle of wine into you, Mr. And then I'd rub you with the falafel, Bill O'Reilly. He said it was a gay problem. And see, that's the sickening thing out of all of this, is that these twisted, perverted, externally puritanical, but internally Dionysian Republicans, with all their weird hang-ups and repressions, and George Bush with the mommy, I hate my daddy, you know, the Oedipal stuff. They've all got an easy out for this. The easy out in this particular instance is that, it's the queers. And it's gone, babblers have been out there saying, Barney Frank got away with it. Barney Frank was never accused of making passes at underage boys. Barney Frank is healthy with his sexuality. See, that's what it comes down to, the key right there. It's about healthy sexuality. When you have an urge to do it with children, farm animals, frogs, family members, that's not healthy sexuality. And that's what, Foley was engaged in sick sexual practices, whether he was chasing little boys or little girls. It's the little, not, but you know this, of course. And, of course, there are, this is one of those drip, drip, drip scandals where it just gets a little bit worse every day. It turns out in May of this year, with full knowledge of what a sickening, sickening child predator Mark Foley was, the head of the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee was still writing him checks. What's his name? Tom Sullivan from New York? Yeah, he's still writing him checks. $5,000 in May. So, that's kind of... There's much more to this. There's a hell of a lot more to this than just peccadilloes. And like I said, there's a drip, drip, drip aspect to this. Here's the latest bit of dialogue that's come out. This is Foley writing to a teenager with whom he was together, what the hell ever that means, in San Diego He's IMing with him, and he says, "I miss you lots since San Diego." Teen, "Yeah, I can't wait till D.C. Foley sends him a smiley face. Teen, "Did you pick a night for dinner?" "Jesus, God, he's asked him to dinner." Foley, "Not yet, but likely Friday." Teen, "Okay, I'll plan for Friday then." Foley, "That'll be fun." Foley, "I want to see you." Teen, "Like I said, not till February. Then we will go to dinner." Foley, "Agnes, take your headphones off and cover your ears because this is going to make you scream, dear."
Okay.
And then what happens? Teen, "We eat, we drink, who knows, hang out late into the night." Foley, "And?" Teen, "Oh no." Foley, "Don't know what. I have the feeling they're fishing here. I'm not sure what I would be comfortable with. We'll see." And, of course, this is, it's also come out that apparently he was trying to hook up, as you say. At one point, Foley says, types, probably with one hand, quote, "I would drive a few miles for a hot stud like you." These are children. These are kids. And what I'm coming to is a fundamental question about whether we're going to deal with this as a Mark Foley problem, as a Mark Foley, Tom Sullivan, John Boner, Denny Hastert problem, or as a problem for Shelley Moore Capito on the page board, or a problem for all of the above plus George W. Bush, who described Mr. Foley as a SWAT team to protect our children. Is that how we're going to deal with it? Because if we deal with it that way, it continues to happen. It continues to happen. Because if you deal with it on an individual basis, it ignores the other individuals who are out there who are just like Mark Foley, who are in positions of power in the Republican Party, and who will continue to do it. This is an institutional sickness within the Republican Party. The same thing goes for the killings in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania today. I don't know what Pennsylvania listeners can tell me. Do you have to declare one party or the other when you register to vote? We do here in West Virginia. You register as a Democrat, you register as a Republican. I can just about bet you that if you have to register partisan in Pennsylvania, in 24 hours' time, I will find out that the man who did the killing in Pennsylvania today was a registered Republican. Just like Dennis Rader, the BTK killer in Kansas, was a registered Republican. Just like Beverly What's-His-Face in South Carolina, who destroyed Susan Smith's life by repeatedly raping her from the onset of her adolescence, was a Republican. Nobody in this, very few people outside myself and a few others have the stomach in this country to come out and speak the truth. And that is, these people are this way because the Republican Party in the United States provides a haven for them. Purely and simply. And if we do not begin to ask the basic questions in this nation of why the Republican Party it continues to provide safe harbor for these predatory bastards, it will continue to happen. Can you imagine the parents of these teenage boys? I've never been around it. I've never been through it. But I am told that young people coming out to their parents is an incredibly the horrific experience, and that some families just shatter like glass over it. Can you imagine finding out, A, that your son was stalked by a Republican congressman, and B, that your boy may be gay, with all the attendant issues that go with that, and you haven't had a chance to do any kind of affirmation within the family? You know, the closet is a scary and lonesome place, from what I've been able to understand. Imagine being the parents of the boys that Mark Foley tried to get to, wanted to get his hands on. How would you feel? What would you want to do? What kind of justice could you mete out to Mark Foley? Do you see what I'm getting at? This is an institutional sickness appertaining unto the Republican Party itself. And if we don't figure that out in this country and snuff it out, there will be more hell, there will be more anguish, there will be more agony as more Republicans do this to more children. Let's go to the phones. Jim joins us. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
All right. Speaking of coming out, I think coming out day is, what, October 11th or 14th?
Which? About?
That is the day when people come out of the closet. That's a national gay holiday.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, thank you for the information.
11th or the 14th. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And so, you know, Bob, I don't know at what age a person's sexuality is developed or which, you know, is a watershed year or date when a person decides whether they're going to be heterosexual or homosexual. But the thing about this case is that when these young men and women go to Washington to serve as pages and as staffers and things like that, the, you know, guiding principle is in loco parentis as far as the congressman is concerned, who's responsible for their welfare.
Absolutely.
And this is definitely one thing that's going to knock the Republicans a slam right off the high ground. I mean, you know, Congressman Foley, the Marine barracks isn't too far from where you work, if that's what you need, you know. I'm sure there's some down there that'll be glad to oblige him. But as far as him being stupid enough to have these electronic messages sent between him and
that's just dumber than a bag of worms.
I've been drunk and I've been drunker, but damn, there are two boards I stay away from, and one's the keyboard and the other's the dashboard.
Well said, Jim.
Well, I mean, you know, good Lord.
But see, now you raise an issue here that I'd like to flesh out a little bit, and that is the issue of, is this a function of Mark Foley's closeted homosexuality, or is it, as I suspect, a function of his pedophilia?
Well, he is severely conflicted. I mean, he is also the author of this child abuse rights bill. And it seems to me as though, and I'm not trying to pull a psychopathia sexualis or trying to pretend like I'm something I'm not, but just as a layman making an observation, and it's purely my opinion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's very severely conflicted about this, and obviously there were some rather salient issues in his personality concerning his predilection for kids this age and his desire to protect them. And I don't think this is, you know, I think this is something that sort of goes hand in hand. You know, we all have inner conflicts in ourselves, I think, and this is one of his.
Well, I understand that, but I'm very, very concerned that in the debate or in discussion, the turning around this issue, Jim, that like I said, it was started by the likes of Bill O'Reilly Friday evening. He says, and I think there are a lot of people who will agree with him, and it's very dangerous for us. He says it's a gay issue. See, I don't see it as a gay issue.
No,
because
it's not a gay issue. It's an issue of this man is, obviously, he is a chicken hawk, okay? That's the term. That's the gay parlance for men who like to prey on young boys. He's a chicken hawk.
All right. Well, I'm getting taken to school tonight.
Well, you know, you don't have to be, you don't have to be straight or gay or whatever to know what these terms mean.
No, no, I've just never, I always applied chicken hawk to, like, Republicans who refuse to fight in wars but go ahead and start them.
No, that's just a gay parlance, that's a gay term for that. It's, you know, basically people who like chicken, they're like underage young men and women. And that's their thing, and I'm not exactly sure what the compensatory mechanism in their personality that would make them wish to have a sexual liaison with someone that young as opposed to someone who is their contemporary or older. I don't understand it, and I don't know. That's as far as I know. But
I mean, there's one section of these instant messages, Jim, in which Foley gets the kid to start talking about his fetishes, and the kid apparently has a fetish for casts, you know, plaster casts, like broken arm, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, listen, the fetish, now, that's a whole new ball game. I mean, you've got people who have concrete fetishes, rubber fetishes, you name it. I mean, there are all types of objects in which people have this undue sexual attraction to, and that sort of melts their butter, for lack of a better term, or gets them where they need to go. And when that's what a fetish is all about. And unfortunately, this man, it is a shame that he had to bring down his office and he could not separate his personal and his professional life.
No, I disagree with you to an extent. I don't think it's a shame that he brought down his personal office.
Well,
because
I'm just talking about the Congress.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the office of being a congressman, period, whether
yeah,
he's Democratic or Republican.
That he's put another nail in public confidence in their elected representatives.
That's my point. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
There you go. And it just seems like this just another, it's just another smudge of disrespect against the government and the people who staff the government. And, you know, we've had these scandals before. I mean, back during LBJ's time, remember one of his lead men was caught in the Union Station bathroom?
Yeah, yeah.
With that cop undercover.
Right, two adults, which today wouldn't, I mean, they wouldn't even send the cop into the bathroom anymore.
Nah. And then, of course, you've had, there's a bathroom in the Longworth building, used to call the Longworth Tea Room, where they say congressional staffers and staff members or members of the Congress would go in to have, you know, it was called a tea room, bathroom sex. That's something that's been done. That's been a rumor around D.C. for years.
See, I wish people could just be happy and healthy with their sexuality and not feel like they had to hide it.
Well, yeah. You know, here's the thing. There are a lot of people who equate sexuality with being punished, and they need this type of associative stimuli in order to achieve some type of sexual fulfillment, in my opinion. It is not enough for them to go behind closed doors and lock the door and pull the shades and have a loving, caring relationship. But they have to go to public places like bathrooms, and they have to make their public predilections known on the Internet and things of that nature. And there's a risk factor, the associative stimuli of being caught. Whether you're being caught in flagrante delicto, in cyberspace, or in the space of a public restroom. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that adds to the erotic
thrill. And you know, you have a lot of things, anonymous types of encounters. And, I mean, all these are part of the whole picture. And I will say this. It is very bad for the image of the government. And number two, if for this young man to... Apparently, he appears to be pretty well-versed. Of course, by the age of 16, today's kids are where we were. When I was 25, they probably knew more at 16 than I did when I was 30.
Well, there's a possibility of that, although I think...
You know, in many cases, particularly in your urban areas, and what they, you know, what kids can see, and what, yeah, I hate the term kids, young people, but I'm just saying they are very precocious.
Well, we grow children up faster than they normally would have, I think, in the past.
I mean, when you've got girls age of 6 trying to be made look like they're 16, like JonBenet.
Yeah.
And that sort of sick behavior. I mean, the others sort of come right. They follow in lockstep as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, it's obvious Mark Foley couldn't, wouldn't, or didn't want to compete.
He could control his urges.
Well, but he didn't want to compete within his own within his own age bracket, gay or straight.
Well, that's another thing. And, you know, here is a federal congressman who has all, you know, many, all he does is snap his fingers and doors open for him that would not open for other people. And, you know, when you go to Washington, Bob, it's a very beguiling place.
Well,
there are lots of people up there who have lots of attractions for people, and when they go to the big city inside the Beltway, you're in the capital of the free world, you're at the nexus of power, and these people are the paladins who can snap their fingers and just make things happen and doors open, and, you know, all it takes is a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you scratch my back, I scratch yours, or wherever they want to scratch.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think,
and I've said enough because I'm going to have the people, the torches coming over.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
I mean, I simply try to, you know, to inform and to just, you know, do the best I can.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And yeah, you're right on many counts. The question I think that we have to delve into further is, what is it about the Republican Party that makes it a haven for these people?
I don't know. I have no idea other than that these people choose the Republican Party because it is supposedly the party of the high moral ground, and it gives them a false facade behind which to hide.
It's a hideout. Exactly. Jim, thanks so much. Have a great night.
Hey, you too. Out here.
All right, later. And let's keep it rolling, going to our good friend David in Tennessee. David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Quite well, thank you.
Good weekend?
Very good weekend. Very good weekend. A little family, a little lot of football, tons of football. That worked out pretty good. The Titans, well, we won't go there. We'll just never mind that.
No, I'm just wondering if Mr. Haynesworth is in jail yet.
Well, now that the door is open on that, Mr. Haynesworth, as of a league pronouncement, today at 3 o'clock Eastern, received a five-game, no paycheck, which means 6 weeks because there's a bye date in that five-game time span. That he will sit down.
Mr. Haynesworth, by the way, for those who aren't NFL fans, waited until an opposing player's helmet was off and then stomped his face in this past Sunday.
He actually kicked the player's helmet off. He kicked in a soccer-like move at the head of the player when the helmet was on. When the helmet flew off, he took a slide step toward him and in a stomping motion, once and the second time, made contact with the man's face.
And, of course, this was played in Tennessee, which has a lovely grass field, which means they were wearing metal, you know, metal-bottomed cleats.
You know, these days, I don't really know. All I know is the end result, and this is an interesting aspect of it to me, under and a little bit to the outside of the orb, there is a 7-stitch cut next to the man's left eye. And in his forehead, there is a 30-stitch gash. Now, it's going to play out more than that because, I'm sorry, how far along in law school would it be to get a how many million-dollar personal judgment against Mr. Haynesworth if you were the guy with the facial, cosmetically damaging facial injury?
You know, this, sure, the earning potential.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never make that Gillette foamy commercial now, not with this big old Frankenstein gash in my head.
Nope. And just as a side giggle, Mr. Haynesworth this past Christmas brought out a line of cologne and toiletries for men that wanted to make a great presentation of themselves. So
I'm guessing, for all I know, Congressman Foley's probably passed that out at Christmas.
Speaking of Congressman Foley, ba-dum-dum-dum.
Can we segue or what?
Pretty good. You want to think about, have you ever thought about radio as a career?
You know, sometimes I do.
Good for you. Stick with it. I shouldn't, however, think of radio as a career with a voice made for print.
Well, that's why, man, I got a face made for radio, so we're batting a million.
Did that Foley character write an automatic pardon in retroactive in 1996, just like President Bush did?
You know, it might have been in the torture bill. Nobody got a chance to debate it or read it. And of course, you know, he was a sponsor of the Child Abuse Prevention Act that was cruising through Congress too, if I have read my information correctly.
That's the one I'm guessing Foley wrote himself in back to 1996 for, you know, an automatic pardon if anything pops up, no pun intended.
Ba-dum-bum. He'll be here all week. Don't forget to try the veal.
Hey, tip your waiters and waitresses. But you are wrong about one thing. It is the Democrats' fault. I heard that today from Mr. Flimbole, and I heard that it's purely a Democratic political ploy. And Mr. Hannity, just as Mr. Flimbole was leaving the radio station, Mr. Hannity explained that to me, and the rationale is, in short, all this information has been around for nearly 3 years in the hands of the Democrats, and they sat on it until it could affect the elections. Therefore, it should all be discredited because the Democrats are only doing it politically because they're only doing it to ruin a Republican's life, not to, and I quote both of them, speaking from the talking point, none of those Democrats want to protect the children. I'm not making this stuff up.
Okay, so this is the part where I just tell Agnes to run music for the next couple of hours and just, that's enough. We'll just stop now and, you know. Start drinking, you know, whatever, go down the, you know, through the rabbit hole, because up is down, left is right, bad is good, God is the devil, the blue is red, day is night. Yeah, it's...
Pick a part of the wall where you know there's a two before and start putting that forehead against it repeatedly, with vigor. Exactly. It is the most disgusting thing in the world. There are, you know, there's none of the accountability that could come from the fact that Republicans have known, you know, what that wonderful clip that Scotty, I live through cancer, please always give me a free pass on anything I say.
No.
Yeah, that guy. Anyway, that routine about, well, it's a, you know, it's tough up here on the Capitol, and there's, you know, there's all these things that might have happened, and good grief. They say that sort of stuff. And then it turns out that they want to take no accountability for the fact that somebody in the Republican Party has known for quite some time to refer to that as naughty email. Well, there's a
naughty. Yeah. But, you know, that's like, well, but wait, that's how they described it. What was it earlier? Let's see. Tony Snow said they were naughty emails. And according to the Republican National Committee, they were over-friendly communications.
And Abu Ghraib was a
fraternity prank.
Yeah, got it. I see where we're headed now. Gee whiz.
Makes me wonder what the... Well, I mean, what... I don't know, David. It's so disturbing. You know, now you've got, among other things... you've got one of the members of the Page Board, our very own Shelley Moore Capito, or, you know, Archmore in a bad wig. And she says, no, the House leadership didn't tell me about it. And the House leadership says, oh, yeah, well, we told the Page Board. Well, here's a member of the Page Board said, no, it didn't. Of course, she's in it. And David, we're going to have to roll here for a second. Maybe you can call back a little bit later tonight, because the reason that Shelley Moore Capito is so desperately screaming that, no, she didn't just ignore this and let it go on for months and months, is because she is in a very, very heated race with a very fine individual, a personal friend of mine by the name of Mike Callahan, who happens to be on the phone right now.
Well, offer him the very best of encouragement for me, and I will happily get out of the way and enjoy the rest of it from the air. Bob, thanks for the chance, and all the best to your pal.
Thank you, David. Talk to you soon.
See you later.
Bye now. And we are joined by 2nd Congressional District in West Virginia candidate Mike Callahan. Mike, I suppose you're in an undisclosed location somewhere here in the Mountain State?
Yeah, I wish I could say undisclosed. We're in downtown Charleston, the campaign headquarters, still working here. I'm at about the halfway point for the day. How's that?
Well, you know, all you need is a couple more weeks of those 72-hour days, and you might get caught up.
Yeah, I tell you what, there's no time for rest on a campaign trail, but I got to say, I love every minute of it.
Well, it is. If you're the kind of person who likes people and likes getting out there and talking issues and being honest with folks and telling them that you've got a real vision for the people in your district, and not just your district, the state and the nation, it's got to be invigorating, Mike.
Oh, it's great. And you've probably seen my RV. I travel the state in. I kind of live on that and talk to the people. And we hold community round table meetings. We just get out and talk about really what affects West Virginians on a daily basis. So that's my campaign style. It's the old style of going door to door and talking to people, which I love.
Well, how's it going so far, Mike?
The campaign is absolutely great. We've had great receptions all across the district. 18 counties, I will say it's a long ways between end to end on it. Largest geographical district east of the Mississippi. So it's quite a bit to travel, but when you live on an RV, I've got a bus that's about 14 years old that I live on, so it's good riding and good talking and good politicking.
You go basically from Martinsburg, West Virginia, in the eastern panhandle all the way down to Charleston, don't you?
Well, even further than that, I'll give you an example. On Saturday, I left Charleston. I worked Point Pleasant area in Mason County, which is included. Came across Jackson County, and I worked Ravenswood and Ripley. Came back to Charleston for a function. Went up to Clay for a function and finished up there up near my home county of Nicholas. So then on Sunday I drove from there all the way to Jefferson County at the far end of the district, worked through there up through Berkeley and Morgan County, and then back home. So quite a long ways in between the two.
It certainly sounds like, and for those who want to get out Google Earth or something, you can see where Mike Callahan's keeping the roads hot. Mike, you've got a jillion great reasons for being our congressional representative from the second district. Of course, I'm in the third, but in the second district, you're facing off against the daughter of the single most corrupt governor ever to occupy the governor's mansion, in the form of Arch Moore. And Shelley Moore Capito found herself in the news today proclaiming that no, she had not been warned about the kinky little proclivities of Republican Congressman Mark Foley. Is this just another symptom, Mike, of a power mad Republican Congress gone completely out of control?
Well, first of all, she either knew or she should have known. Now, she says she did not know, which certainly falls, you know, she needs to fall back to the category she should have known. She was on the committee to do oversight for the children. I call them children, or the PAGE program there in Washington, which are, you know, younger people that go there to get experience in our government.
Mm-hmm.
She should have known if she was paying attention, but I'm afraid she might have been asleep at the wheel here. Now, as far as your broader question, is this one piece of a bigger problem in Washington? Absolutely. I've said this all along the campaign trail for the last year and a half. You know, it's time to send a former federal prosecutor to Washington to clean this mess up. I was a federal prosecutor for almost a decade. I do know the difference between right and wrong, and what's going on there certainly is wrong. You have all the Abramoff mess. You've got Ney. You've got DeLay. You know, Cunningham. Now you've got Foley. I mean, when does the list end here? It just goes on and on and on, and you know, if you look back through it, there's a pattern here, and it's these Republicans, and it's Republicans in leadership, and Shelley Moore Capito is one of the leaders of the Republican Party there in Washington. So, yeah, well, enough's enough. It's time to change the direction of this country.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. Let me ask you this. You mentioned she's part of the leadership. Wasn't she like number two on the list for taking money from Tom DeLay?
Yeah, I think she was actually the number one recipient of Tom DeLay money. And, you know, I'll give her one little bit of credit here. I know this will shock you, but she did give away the money to a very good charity, which was the Sago Miners Fund. The flip of that is she kept it for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it was. So give her a little credit for giving it to a good fund. But I said then, it's too little too late of an effort. Certainly she was wrapped up with all that mess. And, you know, again, it's time for change. This country's on the wrong path. We need to start putting America first and getting away from this extreme Republican agenda.
Well, Mike, I've argued on this program in the past that your campaign should be nationalized. That if beating Shelley Moore Capito, you know, what I call Tom DeLay's best girl, if beating her isn't a national issue, then I don't know what congressional race out there is. And with that in mind, how can people outside the confines of the 2nd Congressional District find out more about your campaign?
Oh, good question there. That's a softball, right?
Yeah, hit it out of the park, Mike.
All right, www.mikewv.com. That gets you to my webpage, and most of your listeners, I assume, are very web savvy.
Oh, yeah.
For those who are not, my telephone number, of course, 304 area code, 414 2394. You can also get at my webpage, which is www.callahanforcongress.com, all spelled out, .com. A lot of times people miss the silent G in my name. It's CALLAGHAN, forcongress.com.
Okay. Well, Mike, the audience for this and all of the programs on the Head On Radio Network are we consider ourselves the front line of the progressive and the liberal movement. We're opposed to this war, Mike. It's turned into a meat grinder. It's frankly risen to the level of being actually abusive to the people who volunteered to defend this nation. Do you have a position as far as trying to extricate us from this mess?
Well, what I've said again for a period of time, I've demanded an immediate plan, not an immediate withdrawal. In other words, I have not been a strong advocate to bring the troops home today as some of my opponents in the primary. So I think we need to bring our brave men and women home over a period of time.
But it's got to end, doesn't it?
I agree. And if you look at the toll on our country, there's certainly the mental and the emotional toll, but there's also a huge financial toll that we're looking at. And, you know, when we're looking at spending over $500 billion on a war with no end in sight, I say enough is enough. Stay the course means nothing to me. I don't know what it means to other people, but it's time to find a real plan to resolve this war. My opponent has gone along with this president every step of the way. I can assure you I will not go along with the president on this war. I will stand up and say it's time to do the right thing for the American people. A couple ideas I've got on that. You know, one of them, we need to start consolidating bases in the country instead of expanding the number of bases, which this president is doing right now. That's one way to start the process of bringing our brave men and women home. You know, the other side of that, if you talk to veterans, and I've talked to lots of veterans groups, and I am the son of a Navy veteran, we're not taking good care of our veterans when they come home.
No, we're not.
It's time to do right for the people, the brave men and women, and it's time to find an appropriate end. And, you know, I say we need to get this situation resolved and bring them home.
Well, I agree with you, Mike. Let me back up though. You said we're not treating the veterans very well. Shelley Moore Capito has listened to the president every time. You know, every time he said froggy, she said how high.
Right.
But she hasn't listened to the veterans. She had an opportunity to vote for the extension of health care to Garden Reserve members who were serving in Iraq to extend that to their family. She voted against that or something similar to that. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. And again, if you go to that webpage, MikeWV.com, I've got an extensive list of voting record on veterans that you can take a look at. But let me tell you one story from the campaign trail. Got a friend up in the Martinsburg area. She was a nurse, and she spent time over in the war in Iraq. And I talked with her extensively about her experience there. And, you know, you can only imagine what a nurse would see in that country. And when I was talking with her about coming home, I asked about how she got treated as a veteran and, you know, how she was treated when she got back to this country. And she got to telling me she had a nice little support group of 8 or 9 of her friends that, you know, they sat and they talked and worked through all the mental anguish that they saw over there. And basically they helped each other get through it. And I don't know if you've ever seen somebody, you know, they've got more to tell you. And as I sat and listened to her, she said, unfortunately, and this is in Martinsburg, 3 of her friends who came back to this country didn't have that support network. And they're no longer with us because they could not handle the stress and they committed suicide.
Dear God.
Now, when I hear stories like that, those are the reasons I go out and work these 20-hour days on the campaign trail to say enough is enough. We've got to do better in this country. So, you know, you think about that one story in Martinsburg, West Virginia. How many more like that do you have all across the country? So when I say I'm going to stand up for veterans, that's one reason that just drives me every day to help the people and help our veterans.
Well, I applaud you. And how could you not be moved by something like that? That's horrifying. And you're right, Mike. It's replicating itself across the country. We're hearing stories like this more and more. We know that brain injury research was zeroed out in the Bush budget.
Right.
And of course, as a member of the House of Representatives, the first thing you get taught in government class is the House has the purse strings. Do you have economic plans for how we deal with this just horse gagging budget deficit that we're dealing with? You know, we're into trillions of dollars. The Pentagon just said that the price of the war in Iraq has gone to $2 billion a week now.
Yeah, which is astronomical. Here, two things I've talked about quite a bit and I stand for. One, and I talked about this, finding an appropriate end to this war, because that is the way we're going to stop the financial bleeding of this country. Secondly, I am in favor of rolling back the tax cuts for the wealthy. And as I say that, let me put parameters on it, because, you know, people take what I say and try and twist it. I am for, and I'm an advocate for, each and every tax cut that we as a country can afford. Now, I'm not a big tax guy. I think we ought to have no taxes if that were possible. The reality is we need to support our forces, our troops. You know, we have to have infrastructure. We need taxes for certain things. Certainly, I'd be an advocate for tax credits or tax relief for small businesses that provide health insurance to their employees.
For the middle class?
Yeah, for the middle class, there you go. But you know, that being said, we've got to stop the bleeding of our resources out of this country to the war and the tax cuts to the wealthy, and go back to putting America first so that we can take care of the people in West Virginia. The priorities in Washington are a little bit upside down right now, and this Republican agenda, it's just taking the country in the wrong direction. That's why you need to elect me, Mike Callahan, and other Democrats to Congress, so we can stand up to this administration and say it's time to go back to putting America first.
Well, here, Mike. What kind of volunteer help are you looking for these days?
Each and every person that wants to get out and help me. We're out doing everything you can imagine, canvassing, you know, phone calls, everything, yard signs, a whole bit. You know, again, telephone number 414-2394. Just give us a call. We'll get you anybody who wants to volunteer. We got plenty of work, plenty of things to do.
So folks from out of state maybe could participate in a phone banking campaign?
Absolutely. And, yeah, we're sitting here in the office. I got a guy with me here. He's waiting to answer the telephone right now.
Okay, well, wonderful. Well, Mike, I sure do appreciate you calling in. We're behind you 100%, and we'll try to get folks talking you up on a national basis, and maybe get you a little phone bank and help, that kind of thing. And anything I or we at the Head On Radio Network can do to help, please let us know.
Well, I appreciate it. Many thanks for your help over the years, and we're all fighting for a better America. And again, I want to put America first, not this failed Republican agenda. So. Thank you for the help. I appreciate it, and get out and vote.
Absolutely. You take care, Mike Callahan.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Mike's good people. Frankly, he and I differ a little bit. I want the war over now. He wants the war over as soon as possible. But you know what? I can reasonable minds can differ a little bit there, and I think we reach a tolerable conclusion, because he understands that the war is a failure. It's another Bush failure. And he understands that his opponent has been nothing but a lickspittle for that failure. I'm not putting words in his mouth. These are mine. So, you know, if you're in the 2nd Congressional District in West Virginia, vote for Mike. If you're somewhere in the 2nd Congressional District and you can help by going out and doing the sign waving at intersections or knocking on doors, do that. If you're outside the state of West Virginia, he could use your help with phone banking. And I will not hesitate to say he could use your money, too. We're Democrats. We got to do this. Okay? MikeWV.com. Go have a look. It's time for the news. When we come back, your phone calls are welcome at 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, Head On. And this is a song for Mark Foley, by the way. I'm Bob.
This is the Quality News Network. Four people were left dead today after a shooting at an Amish school in Pennsylvania. Authorities say the gunman, a 32-year-old milk truck driver, took about a dozen girls hostage, then shot them execution style, killing three of them before turning the gun on himself. An official said the man was, quote, acting out to achieve revenge for something that happened 20 years ago, end quote, but gave no other details. On Capitol Hill, former Representative Mark Foley has checked into a facility for treatment of alcohol abuse and behavioral problems. He resigned from Congress on Friday following the revelation that he exchanged sexually inappropriate messages with at least one male page. Meanwhile, House Speaker Dennis Hastert said he and a lot of people were duped and deceived. Also today, Florida State Legislator Joe Negron was selected to replace Foley as its candidate in the West Palm Beach District. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice denied that she received a warning from the CIA about an imminent attack before the September 11th attacks. In his new book, State of Denial, Woodward says Rice brushed off the CIA and Director and Counterterrorism Chief during the alleged meeting on July 10th. In Iraq, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki unveiled a four-point peace plan today that he hopes will end the fighting between Sunnis and Shiites. It calls for the establishment of local commissions to oversee security forces. Representatives of both each party would be represented in each of the commissions, and a central committee would coordinate with the armed forces. In Baghdad, a state of emergency instituted over the weekend has been renewed. Also today, 14 computer store employees were kidnapped, the second mass kidnapping in 2 days. At least 20 others were killed today in scattered attacks, including a bombing and shooting. In Gaza City, the Hamas-led Palestinian government shut down all ministries today following yesterday's deadly anti-government protests. 9 people were killed and 90 others injured in those clashes between supporters of Hamas and Fatah. The country of Georgia has turned over 4 accused Russian spies to Moscow, but many Russians view the fact that the men were detained as an insult, and Moscow today slapped sanctions on Georgia. In Mexico, a spokesperson for President Vicente Fox said the Mexican government strongly opposes the building of a border fence to keep illegal immigrants out of the U.S. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to RightCarRightPrice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Two Americans have won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for their work in the study of how genes function. It could open the door to new ways of fighting diseases such as AIDS and cancer. Two private equity firms are offering Harrah's Entertainment $15 billion to purchase the world's largest casino operator. Harrah's is reviewing the offer, but company officials have not committed to the deal. The EEOC has filed discrimination suits against the Atlanta Bread Company restaurant chain, BJ's Wholesale Club, and auto parts retailer AutoZone. The suits claim sexual harassment and racial discrimination. Morgan Stanley has obtained an onshore commercial banking license in China with its purchase of Nantong Bank. Financial terms of the deal were not disclosed. In September, the U.S. manufacturing sector grew at its slowest pace in more than a year. A trade group blames the weaker U.S. auto sales and a slow housing market. The Commerce Department reports that in August, construction project spending unexpectedly went up 0.3%. That was the biggest gain in 11 months. Walmart aims to create a 40% part-time workforce. The New York Times reports that part-time workers now make up 25 to 30% of the retailer's workforce. Light sweet crude settled today at $60.84. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 9 points, NASDAQ down 21, S&P 500 down 6. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kim.
Mommy, sing me to sleep. It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, we're going to investigate the Foley thing a little bit further, but that's not all there is tonight. There were a couple of bits of ugliness yet to be dealt with. Yeah, that's a kitten. That's a kitten that. God, kitten. Hey, look, it's homey here, okay? 5 minutes after the hour, and. I got to deal with this. Agnes, dear.
I got it.
I know. Just let the kittens do what kittens do. They can't drown me out. Anybody want a kitten? I got a couple. They're beautiful. They're cute as can be. Yes, I'm giving away the kittens, Agnes. Oh, brother. Okay. Agnes, are we ready to do a radio show? Okay, cool. Hey, guys, you're on the air. At any rate, I want you to see, in talking with Jim in the last hour, I brought up the fact that this is being painted as you would expect a Republican to do, as a homosexuality problem. Of course, anybody with the common sense of, well, anybody with any common sense knows that it's not. It is a pedophilia problem, and pedophilia is not it's not an adult sexuality, it's not a heterosexual, it's not a homosexual, it's not an asexual problem. As far as normal adult sexuality goes, it is abnormal sexuality. It is sexuality that has been criminalized in this country because we don't like grown adults preying on little children. Or even 16-year-olds. Okay? So that being the case, that's the setup. I want you to hear what the absolute sleaziest of the right wing has to say about this. And by the sleaziest of the right wing, I mean Michael Wiener. The Savage Wiener. I know, I'm scaring the kitty cats. I'm talking about Michael Savage Wiener. What a disgusting human being. You could go and hear this at Media Matters for yourself. This is Media Matters audio of Michael the Savage Wiener's take on a sex bust. That was covered in the Washington Times. You ready to go there, Agnes? Okay, take your anti-emetics. You know, hopefully you won't vomit. Here is Michael the Savage Wiener. In a minute.
Washington Times employee arrested in sting just popped up. Metropolitan Police today charged the director of human resources at the Washington Times with one count of attempting to entice a minor on the Internet. Randall Cassaday, 53, was arrested at 9:45 p.m. yesterday, where police said he had arranged to meet who he thought was a 13-year-old girl. He had actually exchanged Internet messages and photographs with a male police officer posing as a girl. Well, okay, great. I actually think he should get a reward that it wasn't with a boy. I actually was thrilled to see it was only a girl.
Wait.
I'm not saying
Agnes,
it was good
pause.
That he did it.
Pause,
but don't
Agnes.
Get me wrong.
Did you catch that? Now, this guy thought he was out there trolling for little girls. This sick, sick monster. The Savage Wiener. Well, he wants the guy to get a medal because he wasn't going after little boys. So now to, on top of pedophilia, we can add a soupçon, if you will, of disgusting sexism to it. What's the message? Well, you know, he should have gotten a medal because at least it was a girl. You know, did you hear that? At least he's a normal pervert. the guy who was trolling thought he was chatting IM with a 13-year-old. A 13-year-old. Fire it back up, Agnes, would you please?
I was stunned that it was with a girl. I mean, there's still a normal pervert out there? It's hard to believe.
See?
There are still normal perverts? It's shocking. I think it's a very dangerous trend. Not only the obsession with child molestation, which is an obsession, by the way,
Pause. It's going to get worse. A dangerous trend, the obsession with child molestation. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Do you think it's dangerous for us to protect children against the predatory, the Mark Foley's of the world? Do you? Michael Savage Wiener says that the nation is in danger because we try to protect children against sexual predators. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Wait till you hear the comparison. Wait. Are you ready for this? I mean, you know that this SOB opens his mouth and bats fly out, right? Well, wait till you... there's a reason the media covers the children being preyed upon by Republican congressmen. And, of course, it's because they're a liberal media. Here it comes.
I don't have the guts to take on radical Islam.
Ah!
They make a big deal out of child molestation. It's like a new hysteria. It's caught in the new witch hunt. Going after child molesters today is the equivalent of witch hunts. In pilgrim times, everyone is suspected of being a witch or a child molester because, well, of many different reasons. The entire left wing is gone.
Can we take any more of this? Can we stand any more of this? Do you believe this? The liberal media is covering up for their inability to take on radical Islam by covering kitty-diddling Republicans? Mother, holy mackerel! I mean, we're approaching medicatable status at this point. We're approaching something that is so pathologically sick that these SOBs need to be locked up somewhere. Let's see, what do we got so far? We got Bill O'Reilly saying that it's a problem of the homosexual community. We got Tony Snow saying that these are naughty emails. And now Michael Savage has somehow conflated the so-called liberal media and their unwillingness to criticize Islam with the fact that they cover stories of pedophilic Republican congressmen? I don't know if we're gonna make it to the end of the show tonight. I mean, I mean, in our phone call with David in Tennessee earlier, you heard it. Because he got, you know, he had the right-wing radio going, and, you know, when you live in Nash Vegas, you don't even get Air America. And so Hannity and O'Reilly and Flush have patiently explained to their shoe-size IQ'd audience that this is a vast Democratic plot and it's only for politics. Look it. You're not going to find a more liberal or progressive or, according to some, radical Democrat than what Bob Kincaid is. Let me make this clear. If I, as a parent, were to find out that my child had been solicited by a member of Congress, and I have a son and daughters, if any of those had been solicited by a member of Congress, I would not check to see what their damned political registration was. I would leave here now and go as far as I could get in my vehicle before somebody stopped me, and God willing, I would find that person and, well, I can't say the rest. But it doesn't apply to members of Congress only. It applies to anyone who tries to hurt our children, Agnes and me. Now, the fact that these sick, 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 psychotic, twisted, sociopathic, pedophilic, pederastic, buggered monsters hide out in the Republican Party, I'm not responsible for. I didn't drive them there. I didn't drive them there. They're not there because of liberal politics. They're there because the Republican Party is a haven, for this kind of conduct. Let's continue on with the Savage Wiener.
Governed by the hedonists, and the hedonists are the most unforgiving element in American society. It transcends both parties.
Who are
it
the
transcends
hedonists?
All races.
Hedonists?
The hedonists run everything.
Hedonists?
And the hedonists put their hedonism above all other things.
Hedonism?
Okay. Well,
that's how I see it. Jason, I honestly do see it that way. And I've decided to not use the word gay anymore. I'm using the word hedonist because I think it more aptly describes what I'm trying to say. Because the lifestyle of the homosexual and the lifestyle of a heterosexual hedonist is almost the same. So therefore, I would say the hedonists and hedonism is a better description of what I'm trying to get at with regard to why I'm hated in the media.
That makes sense.
How do you explain?
I admit, I was trying to take a drink, there. That was almost a spit take. Republican congressmen are out there trying to diddle pages because Michael Savage Wiener is hated in the media? Ow! You know, it really hurts when you shoot soda pop out your nose. I'm burning. I mean, wow, just keep rolling.
Who suffer a horrible death and then die at six in a back ward, and no one ever sees them because the gay community won't let you see the children dying. They only let you see the gays who tell you that their disease is the only disease that's permissible to be shown in the media.
I mean,
AIDS is a horrible disease, but it isn't the only disease.
What?
Houston, are we reaching? Did that come through the way? He sits there and he says that we ignore little children with leukemia because the gay people won't let us work on other diseases. All our medical research is geared toward HIV/AIDS. All of this out of a Republican congressman who diddles children. And I'm the one who's harsh and radical. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there at all. There's also, well, I tell you what, the king of this filth, Flush Flemball, Rusty to his friends, Viagra spokesman, walking test marketer for OxyContin, Flush Flemball, he chimed in today, too. I don't have the audio of that. I don't think I could stand it if I did. But we'll go into that, too. Susan, though, is calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Bob?
Yes?
I have to tell you, after I get done with this phone call, I'm going to hang up. I'm going to throw some things.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a couple things. First of all, I have a cousin who is gay.
Mm-hmm.
He's homosexual. He is not a pervert.
Nope.
No. Secondly, as to the Wiener witch hunt crack, as a witch, I can tell you right now, and I'm sure Agnes can tell you too, that guy don't know. He wouldn't know his rear end. Even if he could find it with both hands, and I doubt if he can.
I don't want the mental image of him trying, Susan.
Yes, I'm trying to clean up the language here. Secondly, I'm not sure. I'm too mad.
Something's going to get broken in Columbia City tonight.
This is supposed to be a normal human being just talking here. This wiener dude.
Yeah, oh, he's proud of how normal he is.
My fat ass. And he is, I'm sorry to say. That dude is about as normal as Dizzy Ridgway. And we all know what he was.
Yes.
He liked to go out and make love to corpses. Yes, he did. I kind of wonder what party he belonged to. I wouldn't have been a bit surprised if it had been a Republican.
No. You know, the thing is, I've tested this hypothesis on a number of occasions. There was a Christian DJ from the hip happening Christian lifestyle station in Nashville a year or two ago, got popped for kiddie porn. I made a couple of phone calls down there to the registrar's office, and yeah, every time he showed up, came time to vote in a primary, by golly, he was there voting in the Republican one. BTK killer in Kansas, registered Republican. John Wayne Gacy, registered Republican. There's a pattern to this.
Divided primary in Washington. So you might be able to find out. Now, as my last point, dear Wiener also has no conception of the English language because he's obviously trying to make the word hedonist mean homosexual.
Yes.
And that's absolutely nothing to do with it. And as for his smarmy little crack about the medical research, He's beneath contempt.
Well, he is beneath contempt. The sad thing is, do you realize, and this is just horrifying to contemplate, Susan, this guy is the fifth most listened to talker in the United States? If you heard that filth, Susan, and then you had going on in your head what was going on in mine, that guy is getting, people listen to him and go, and their little heads nod and their mouths are open and the drool runs out the corner to a million people a day.
Ugh.
There are a million Americans who agree with that thing.
My one main consolation is everything these people do is going to come back at them three times, which is like to think about. Another consolation is, and I'm sure you thought of it too, since you mentioned Stranger in a Strange Land, it helps to think of what happens to someone if he's tilted 90 degrees from every place else. I've got a list. They'll never be missed.
And it rhymed too, Susan.
Well, I stole it.
That's a bumper sticker. I've got a list. They'll never be missed.
Yeah, I stole it directly from the great Robert Heinlein. So.
Yeah.
But that was basically all I had to say. I just had to call it and vent. Now I'm going to go throw things.
Nothing valuable, please.
No, I have some non-breakable stuff I go and vent with. But, no, I have a temper, you know.
Well, I can understand. This is worth having. That's the thing. Whether it's Flush or O'Reilly or Savage or Beck or any of these other Jay Severin, any of these other creeps,
I do have.
They are the people who have influenced public policy to make America this way, Susan.
Yeah, I do have one other comment. The Republicans are busy saying, "Oh, the Democrats have leaked this." I don't think they did. I think the Republicans did so that they wouldn't get lambasted over that torture vote.
Well, right, because look what we're talking about.
Yeah, a juicy sex scandal. So I think it was the Democrats.
Well, they'll throw, you know,
put it out.
The Bush family and Republicans in general will throw one of their own under the bus in a heartbeat. And they've, you know, and this is, you know, they've thrown Mark Foley under the bus. They've, you know, I found out today, I guess I was a little late coming to it, but I found out today, Susan, that they actually actively threw Colin Powell under the bus.
Yeah, I read that.
He was fired. He did not resign.
I read that, and I about fell off the chair.
Well, I'm not surprised. They had gotten their use out of him, Susan.
Yeah.
And being the racists that they are, they'd also done something else that appealed to them. The Bush administration, by virtue of burning up every last little bit of credibility Colin Powell ever had, made sure that he would not be the first black president because he had a chance.
Yeah, he did. And I'm sure that was part of the calculation.
I have no doubt. I mean, that's the way these people think.
These people are just wonderful.
They're monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean if you believe in honest to goodness good and evil, these people are tapping into the evil the evil aspects of whatever the energy is that runs this planet.
At the risk of stealing another line, have I told you tonight how much I hate these people?
I know.
God, I hate these people.
I hate them so much. I do. I really. And you know, there's places where hate is it's okay. If you hate evil, you're on the right track.
Yeah, as long as you do, as long as you behave properly.
And channel the energies in the right direction.
You bet.
Susan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.
Fun trucking.
Bye now. We'll do. This is. What I was saying with Susan earlier bears a little bit more examination. Republican politics, so-called conservatism or neoconservatism or whatever one wishes to refer to it as, would not have had a prayer in the United States without Flush Flembaugh, without Michael Savage, without O'Reilly, without Hannity, without Tony Snow, and without the literally hundreds, if not thousands, of so-called conservatives blowing, whatever you want to, expressing themselves on the public airwaves of this nation every day. It was their doing that created this conservative revolution. I'm not giving credit where credit is due. I am pointing out evil where evil lives. Now, the other side of that coin is the fact that we on our, not me, not you, you understand the power of conversation radio. You understand the value in hearing the interplay of ideas. This format is made for liberals and progressives, if we do it right. Because if we have a real conversation, we can process and we can come to conclusions that will help this nation. And we can empower people from diverse parts of this country to engage in a dialogue that could otherwise not take place. And as with almost everything that is good and decent in this country, the conservative movement took it, twisted it, turned it inside out, and utterly perverted it. Where the medium could be used for dialogue, discussion, and process, they turned it into a megaphone for delivering marching orders. You know, if you take a poll of most of America today, a third of people will say that they are committed conservatives. 20% of people will say that they are liberals or progressives. The rest of the people will say that they are moderates or centrists. But even the people who identify as conservative by name, if you start asking them what they want their country to be, you'll find that in many cases they may be more liberal than you are. But they have been taught over the course of a couple of decades now that the only thing they can be and feel like a winner is a conservative. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because our side has some failings. Our side has had a tendency early in the days when the talk radio was not owned by conservatives to listen to Flush and these little ignorant ditto heads and think that that's all it could possibly be and think that, you know, it's just tacky. Oh, would you listen to that? Oh. And for the entire decade and a half that Democrats, liberals, progressives ignored the talk radio medium, all they were doing was ceding an entire battlefront in the culture wars to the other side. Honest to God, that's what it was. And as a consequence of that, you know, people who are dialing across the radio dial, if they hear somebody, if you tuned in 15, 16, 17 years ago to Flush Flimball for the first time, you found out early on that if you wanted to be a winner, baby, you had to be a conservative, right? Yeah. And of course, just like Father Coughlin or just like any of the other hate mongers out there. Down through history, Flush and these others made a very bitter brand of hate, suddenly comical and palatable. And if you were impressionable and politically naive, he made it possible for you to understand that it wasn't your problem. That what was going wrong in this country wasn't your problem. It had nothing to do. You didn't need to stand up. You didn't need to do anything as long way, except when it came to voting, and then you had to go and vote conservative. But, you know, it was them. It was they. It was the other. It was the brown skin, the dark skin, the red skin, the yellow skin, the olive skinned. It was people who pray in funny languages. It was liberals. It was Democrats. Those were the problems. And you understood that you would only make your life worse by delving into the issues and doing that kind of processing that I was talking about a little bit ago. And all this time, Democrats and liberals in power and, more importantly, money positions said, why would we want to participate in that? That's so shallow. Did the Emory Board order come in today, Mr. Mellish? Yes, Enid. Good. We have created some of our own problem. But Lord God, what a problem we have let be created. And that's why we here, a number of committed people busting their butts, who are ordinary folks. We're not celebrities. But we wanted a conversation with you. And we wanted to empower you to speak up and speak out and stop living the enforced silence of the conservative right's stranglehold on media. People have asked me, well, you know, why didn't you start it? Well, you know, I started out in the fifth smallest radio market in America. If I'd had the money to buy that station, you know how many people I'd be reaching right now? On the best possible days, maybe 2,000 in one little corner of West Virginia. Now, what's better? What's the smarter move? The smarter move is going to where the smart people are, going to the internet, building this network from the ground up under a philosophy that has never, ever, ever been tried before. And you're proving that we were right. You're proving that America is hungry for a chance to talk amongst itself as it used to on front porches and back stoops all across this land. You're proving it when you get on the horn. The phone number, you know, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Time's strange. We gotta free our brave boy. You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Flight attendants at Northwest Airlines have called on a federal mediator to institute a 30-day cooling-off period. Instead, the mediator called the two sides to Washington, D.C. The union says they are at an impasse and that the airline is not making any new proposals. Talks ended this week and will restart on October 9th. Also finding itself in turbulent labor skies is Mesaba Airlines. The company is seeking to throw out contracts of pilots, flight attendants, and mechanics. On September 22nd, Mesaba had $10 million left to work with, and bankruptcy court judge Gregory Kishel said the company is going through roughly $1 million per week. The company is hoping for a ruling by October 13th and has threatened to stop flying if it isn't allowed to cut pay and benefits by 19%. Mesaba is the commuter carrier for Northwest. An important National Labor Relations Board ruling on the Kentucky River cases is expected later today. Doug Cunningham has more.
The cases involve employers who want to broaden the definition of supervisor in order to take away union rights for hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of workers. If the NLRB agrees with the employers and broadens the supervisor definition, then workers who may direct or assign the work of others could magically become supervisors, even though they have no power to hire and fire. Legally calling these workers supervisors would then mean they no longer have any union protections under the National Labor Relations Act. The labor movement has protested these coming decisions with nationwide marches and rallies. Unions who expect the worst from the Bush-dominated NLRB say this is another opportunity for the NLRB to strip away more labor rights. The NLRB is expected to issue its ruling on at least one of the Kentucky River cases today, mailing that decision out to the parties involved in the cases.
Delphi has made a deal with Hewlett-Packard and EDS that will outsource 90% of the company's IT work. The company, currently in bankruptcy court, has requested that the plans remain confidential. The company said that the outsourcing of IT services will enable Delphi to reduce the IT supplier base from 100 regional-based suppliers to fewer than 10 direct suppliers. The company would not say whether or not those jobs would be moved to other U.S. workers or to foreign workers. Here is today's economic report. The rat race is quickly becoming an arms race of work hours. A recent article in the Washington Post finds that those who are willing to work the most hours tend to make out better when it comes to promotions and raises. The reason, Cornell sociologist Maren E. Clarksburg told the Post, is that we are living in an increasingly intangible world where it is hard to measure worker output. Therefore, it has become more tempting to measure output in terms of work hours, even if it means that person working more hours isn't necessarily more qualified.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Back. 21 minutes before the hour. That hour here on the East Coast being 9 p.m. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's go straight to the phones. We're joined by our good friend Peter in Tallahassee, Florida, or somewhere near there. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. I was just telling our friend John Fox, who has found a new place to live, is in the process of moving, that I have
extra
disco ball I'm going to send him.
Yes.
And I just heard the last track, and just be sure and tell him I'll throw in a copy of that to go with it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, he'll love it. You know, but the thing that kills me, these people, it's the attitude. It's this attitude of being untouchable that goes along with everything they do. How brazen can you get? People pull this, sexual deviant BS all the time, but the absolute arrogance of it. And then I'm reading today about how the person who's in charge of the pages, the director or whatever there, and already knew about it and said in a public meeting that he endorsed him taking one of the pages out to dinner, cruising to dinner is the way that Foley put it. And just absolutely blatant right out.
He really said cruising? I missed
cruising.
This one.
Yeah, I'll find the article and email it to you in a minute or paste it in chat. Yeah, he said we were cruising out to dinner, and it gets worse by the day. The more power these people have, the more untouchable they seem to become.
And, well, and the more they are taking on the aspects of libertine and sybaritic members of the Roman aristocracy in the days of empire.
Absolutely, absolutely. And each day it becomes more blatant. And Bush is doing the same thing now. He's talking about going to fighting terror against the whole world. I mean, it just escalates and escalates.
That's because the whole world terrifies him, Peter. He's a, you know, not really. He's a coward.
Well, he grew up with that big-haired woman. I could understand.
You know, I cannot imagine what would happen if you were George Bush's shrink. I mean, you wouldn't be able to lead a normal life. You'd have to come home and just plug an IV bottle of Tanqueray into the inside of your elbow or something.
Yeah, and it would be one of those instances that, like, it would be like Silence of the Lambs bad to be his, like, lector psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah. It's in,
The psychiatrist would be
do
like,
you still hear the lambs, doctor?
Right, right. And the psychiatrist would have to go to the authorities to report him, even though, you know, patient-client relationship or whatever.
Actually, I know what the line would be, Peter.
What?
I can still hear the bullfrogs now, right before they popped.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, I could just hear it, too. Boy, what a bunch of...
What was Mark Foley's life?
Well, you know, he was a South Florida guy, so I don't know a hell of a lot about him up here in North Florida. But, you know, there's a lot of rich Republicans down there. And I've read also that he started out as a Democrat, but switched to the Republican Party around 1988, which just goes, well, I think it was in the early 80s anyway, just about the time that the Republicans began to swing in gear and it was obvious that they were the winning side. So he really wasn't a Democrat at all. He was just looking to be on the winning side.
Sure.
And so, you know, and the spin. Oh, dear God, the spin.
Well, this latest, the thing from Michael Savage, just, I mean, you just, you know, after a while, the Mark Foley thing is breaking now because the media won't take on the deadly Muslims?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Peter.
What about the normal pedophiles? Oh, God.
I have days, Peter. I have days when before the mic goes on, you know, I've got six or seven stories in front of me, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, and it's a slow news day. You know, it's six or seven really dull stories. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, how am I going to go on the air tonight? What am I going to say?
Well, Bob, there's hope because the dull news stories day seem to be fading away. I mean, the tide is hitting the fan just as fast as... You know, I've never seen anything unravel so fast in my entire life.
Well, you know, our good friend Wayne, the day after Bush won re-election, said, "We are going to watch these people come unglued before our very eyes."
Well, that's very prophetic,
and it's proven true. But what I was getting at, as far as, you know, like the slow news days and stuff, I sit here wondering about, you know, how to make dull stuff relatively interesting, because you know what? I want to be interested in what's going on, too.
Well, sure.
You know, I hate it when I bore me, because I know what I'm doing to you guys.
Yeah. You know, all you can say is the Republicans did it again today. It wasn't quite as bad, but they did it again.
Right. But the thing is, you know, I don't sit there and try to, you know, connect dots between pedophilic congressmen and the Islam, you know, this is one of the guys who invented the word Islamofascism, Savage.
That shows absolute desperation.
And, how do you explain to me the cognitive process, Peter, that looks at a pedophilic congressman and goes, oh, it's the Muslims' fault?
Well, you know, my theory is that a lot of these people listening to that are driving in their cars. You know, your blue-collar workers who are, you know, TV repairmen, refrigerator repairmen, and couch deliverers, and all that sort of thing, and copier repairmen. They're all driving around in their cars, and they've got other things in their mind, like their next service call, or the traffic light, and the person that cut it in front of them. So they're really not processing any of this, but subliminally, it's all yep, 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 yep. There's no discernment.
Yeah, that or else you'd turn the dial. You know, that's one of the reasons, Peter, that I think what we're doing with this media form, this medium, You'd think I'd never had Latin. What we're doing with this medium is so much more profound than anything going on broadcast radio, because the people who come to share their time and listen to our programming mean to.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, they're not a widget salesman cruising down the West Virginia Turnpike who just hits scan on the radio and suddenly starts hearing a bunch of right-wing filth and hate. You know, it proves my point in many ways. It shows that that we really are hungry for a conversation with each other.
Yes, Lord. You know, Tallahassee has two talk radio stations, progressive. One's FM, one's AM. So they got the pretty much Tallahassee covered. I expect most cities are like that, with at least two purveyors of trash.
Oh, you said Tallahassee has two progressive stations.
Oh, did I say progressive? Well, you know I'm old, dude. didn't I tell you I was old when I first started?
I didn't realize Puppy was a seeing ear dog.
Oh, bless her heart. I had to make her drive today.
No snakes.
Oh, no. We had no snake incidents. It was fairly calm. Oh,
but no, yeah, they are. I mean, you know, our friend David calls in from Tennessee, and yeah, he heard all the right wing filth today. There are, and that's the saddest thing, Peter. We're talking about the public airwaves. The airwaves belong to the people of the United States.
Not anymore. They belong to the wealthy.
The wealthy people of the United States. That's right.
It's a shame, isn't it?
And so the people who control that have decided that working class Americans cannot hear anything but stuff that is designed to engender hate in their spirits, in their hearts, and in their souls. And the funny thing is, it's not hate against anybody that they logically would hate. It's hate for themselves.
Did you happen to catch 60 Minutes Sunday and see the Woodward interview?
Sadly, no.
Well, you know, I forget the name of the guy who was interviewing him. I should know his name, but we've already discussed my age. In any case, I don't recall either. But you should have seen the smile on his face. It was like it was such a relief for him to actually have somebody on the show that could, you know, that was saying the thing. And it was interesting that Woodward made the point that everything that he said on the show was backed up by audio tape, and that the producers of 60 Minutes had reviewed that very carefully to make sure that what he was going to say was not almost true, but literally verifiable by the audio tape. Like the meetings with Condi, where they went up in the emergency session, you know, to try to convince the, you know, the old bag to take her shoes off and listen for her. You know, it's on tape. I'm sorry, but, you know, so busted.
You know, I wonder, I don't understand Bob Woodward, Peter. Because, you know, he's the one that wrote those real, you know, real toe-sucking books.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
But he's been given unlimited access, and then, you know, because this was all stuff he knew. You know, why do I find it out now? Why couldn't we know this maybe when, like, the 9/11 Commission was writing its report? Because the 9/11 Commission members have come out and said, you know, we find this to be very, very disturbing. Because, you know, we had to fight to get her under oath.
Yeah.
And she never said anything about this meeting. And we asked her, were there any meetings? Oh, heck no.
Well, you know, in any organized group of just purely evil people, they may seem cohesive and they may seem like a whole. But I assure you, somewhere there is a thread that if you pull that one thread, the whole damn thing unravels. And I think we are getting very close to finding that thread. I really do.
Well, I think we've just sort of probed the disgusting soft underbelly of Republican politics. But this stuff is there. And there's nothing rare about it. These people are weird.
The thing you read the other night blew me away. I had to bookmark that site.
Yeah.
You know, the laundry list of the evil that they had.
Yeah. And like I said, I didn't even get halfway through the list.
Oh, no, you didn't. I started reading, and I said, well, he didn't mention that. Yeah, you barely got through the very beginning, the first quarter, I'd say.
You know, there's a photograph that was taken in the last 6 months of Bush in the Rose Garden. Looking at Mark Foley, and Frist is there, and Orrin Hatch is there, and Santorum's there, and John Walsh from America's Most Wanted, and I guess his wife or whatever are all standing there. And it was for a bill signing for Adams Law, okay? And during the remarks, Dear Leader says something like,
These congressional Republicans in passing this bill have they've set themselves up as a SWAT team for protecting America's children.
Oh Jesus, I could just hear it now.
And
one of your callers earlier this evening was absolutely right. Where the hell is Falwell? Not a word to be said, boy.
Well, and not a word out of Dobson either. Of course, Dobson's probably out in the shower exposing himself to some boy to keep him from catching a bad case of the homos. You know,
yeah, I remember the other night when you had the, you talked about it anyway, the teacher who took her students to see, and there were some nude statues?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had her lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was right. The lawyer was there. I told you I'm old. So anyway, so I was thinking that probably the whole problem was that the statue of David was hung better than Daddy. This is the issue. I'm sure.
But I mean, I've seen the original David, and it's nothing. It's nothing. I mean, the statues,
exactly.
the packaging, nothing to write home about. I mean,
exactly. It's not a prize winner. But you know,
I'll leave that one to you.
Apparently, Daddy is upset.
Oh God, you know. And, but the thing is, all these things, whether it's Tom Sullivan at the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, or whether it's Denny Hastert or John Boehner, or George Bush in the Rose Garden. All this information was out there about this predilection, this little, you know, hang-up of Mark Foley's. It was all out there all the time this was being done.
Yeah, and
they all knew about it.
They all knew, and it just covering their, protecting their territory. And
if they can't protect the 16-year-old congressional page, how in God's name, Peter, are we supposed to trust them to protect the nation against crazy people with planes?
Well, it's because we're focusing on that and not the normal pedophiles, obviously.
No, that's normal pervert. Normal pervert.
You know how the people who get the most upset about any given issue, this leader of protecting children, the ones who get the most upset about it are the ones who are doing it. It never ceases to fail.
Well, yeah. And we find it out time and time and time again, because it's institutionalized by now, Peter. The Republican Party is so sick and so twisted and so godforsaken evil.
Oh, truly.
That it's like a retreat. It's like a cult for these sick bastards.
It is. It's a cult, and they're so far into it. And they have been convinced, like religious cults, that if they turn away from it, they're betraying God somehow, and they're going to go to hell. So it's this Venus flytrap sort of thing, where you walk in, and it's very difficult to walk back out. Because
yeah, suddenly it turns into an Eagles song, and you can check out, but you can never leave.
Yeah, you were saying that. Somebody was saying that. It's probably you. I love that. I love that analogy. Yeah, you could check it. Never leave.
Oh,
anyway, geez. I'm loving the show. Great caller.
Thanks, Peter. Good to hear from you.
I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Yeah, say hi to the dog for us.
Yeah, she's sleeping.
Thank doggy for us. She's so good to you.
Sweetheart, I don't deserve her. I'm not worthy.
Peter, take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. And onward to our good buddy Clyde from WD40.com. Hey, Clyde, what's up?
Comrade, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. You?
Oh, well, y'all being here in the great American Soviet Union now, you know, I just kind of want to call and talk to you a little bit about Mr. John Mark Foley.
Yes.
You know that email I sent you earlier today about whether these guys would be
chargeable as accessories?
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to thinking, I think you and I, we were thinking a little off the mark. We were going for kind of a criminal.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can go the civil route to go to criminal. Let me kind of step this down for you.
Okay.
All right. We got a 16-year-old boy working as a page. Keyword, working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's getting sexual emails from a superior. Basically a congressman. That is sexual harassment on the workplace.
Darn sure is.
Okay. Then you work this into where Foley's superiors were told of this activity, and they did nothing about it. That is conspiracy to commit fraud.
It is that, and it doesn't take nearly as high a standard of proof as a criminal charge would either.
Exactly. It starts out as a civil, but it moves into the RICO Act. I mean,
didn't the Supreme Court gut RICO a couple of years ago, though?
To a certain extent. But the thing of it is they were able, or they were looking for a gain by keeping this hushed up. Okay? They wanted to keep the control of the House, which would be a gain, especially in this political climate. So, there you have conspiracy.
I think you've got a very strong case there. And, Clyde, what I think, damned if it's not a workers' rights issue, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you damn straight it is. I mean, you know, whether the kid was 16, 18, 21, it doesn't matter. He was receiving illicit emails from someone in a more superior position than he was. That person's superiors then covered it up. There's other, you know, there's corporate guys that are sitting in
right now
for the same thing.
Let me ask you a question, though, Clyde. In order to sue these people, we would have to divulge the identities of the victims would have to be divulged.
Exactly.
Now,
that leads me to a second point. Okay, that by divulging that person's identity to make that claim, okay, that adds injury, which brings up punitive damages also. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So not only can you hit them legally, but you can hit them in the pocketbook.
God damn.
Now, I just kind of wonder why his parents don't want this revealed.
Well, because, I mean, I've got a pretty good idea, Clyde.
Well, I think I do, too, and I kind of respect it on one hand, but then I kind of wonder if something kind of shady isn't going on there.
Well, but, I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is the kid that was participating in this in these email exchanges, at least one of them, was sitting there and explained in great detail to Mark Foley how he went about masturbating.
Right, right.
If your mom and dad, I don't think you want that out there in the public, and I think that's what the Republican Party was counting on.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. You know, either they were putting pressure on the parents that they would expose their child, which, right there, that's coercion, ain't it?
Well, sure it is. It absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is. You're right.
On.
There's a lot of RICO-type stuff going on here.
Either that or they bought them off, plain and simple. It's one of the two. Either they don't want their child's identity, sexual identity, to be known, which, you know, is none of our business one way or the other anyhow. But when it comes to a criminal matter, yeah, you know, that kind of information is going to come out. But it's either they pressured that them parents to keep their mouth shut by either paying them off or saying that we're going to expose your son. And, you know, that's extortion.
Yeah, it is. There's evil. Just this is just wrapped and swabbed in evil, Clyde.
Well, yeah, you know, and now you got kids from 5 years back saying that, yeah, we were warned about him. So, you know, old Tom DeLay's finger was in that pie.
Don't put it that way, Clyde.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Well, you know, actually, if you really think about it, you know, the boy's sexual agenda does not come into play in that statement.
No, that's true. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Tom DeLay's so creepy. I've said on a number of occasions that it would be another case of those. You know, what would bring him down would be caught in bed with a dead girl or a live boy.
Exactly.
It wasn't directly the case, but I'm wondering now.
Well, you know, you had in the 80s, you had that sex scandal with the boys and the congressmen and all this. You know, I couldn't name your names. I don't know if you do a Google search, you'll find it. you know, and that's about the time old Tom DeLay got involved in it, you know, and then personally, I think we got a bunch of homophobes in the White House right now. I think they're closet homosexual. Why would they want to do all this type of torture, you know, making guys get into pyramids and all this unless they were getting their jollies?
Well, that's the whole point. Clyde, it all comes down, it rolls from the top down.
Oh, yeah.
This weird, crude, cruel homoeroticism. I mean, anybody can be whatever they happen to be born to be. But, you know, when you've got a guy doing stuff at Abu Ghraib that is contrary to his own sexuality and he's doing it strictly for the purposes of humiliating another human being.
Oh, yeah.
That's not something that he comes up with by himself.
No, they were ordered to do it. You know, I think England and the others, I think they were the patsy. You know, they took the fall for Rumsfeld and the rest of that gang. You know, it was ordered. And I think that the civilian contractors that were doing the investigation or interrogations, excuse me, I think this was marching orders straight from the top.
I have no doubt of it. I don't, you know, and what they didn't order, they turned a blind eye to, Clyde.
Oh, exactly.
And in many ways, you know, Foley has a sickness. Okay, he has a sickness. But the enablers who made it possible for that sickness to blossom like some sort of sick Star Trek creature-y kind of plant thingy, those are the monsters.
Oh, yeah. You know, Foley did wrong, and he deserves everything he gets. In fact, I think he deserves more than what he's going to get just because of who he is. But, you know, when you're talking about Hastert and DeLay and Reynolds and all these other guys that were involved in this, you know, these guys are guilty of crime. You know, plain and simple. More than one, in my opinion, is just whether we can get Torquemada to prosecute him. That's the thing right there. I don't think he will.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Clyde, it's so good to hear from you. Anything good? What? Not anything good. What good's going on at WD-40 these days?
Oh, just same old stuff. You know, we're hammering the Republicans as hard as we can. I've been tripping over to Free for Land, and boy, that's been a real experience.
Yeah, you got to take a shower when you get back from there.
Well, yeah, but at least a few of them have learned how to use their spell check. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? While you're over in Freeper World, Clyde, tell them we're wearing them out over here. You know, I'd love to have some little right wingers chew on once in a while.
Well, I have a feeling that they're going to be a little bit upset with my column this week. I'm going to do the Foley Chronicles from the Eye of the Freepers. So.
That'll be fun. Well, we'll be looking for it.
All right. Well, you take care. Love you, Agnes. I just like you, Bob.
Love you. We'll shake hands, okay, Clyde?
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Later, brother.
All right. Bye, bro.
Keep them honest out there in the heart of America.
Always.
All right.
Take care, man.
Later.
Bye.
Okay, and we'll go to the news a little bit late now, but you can jump in on this if you want to. God, I'm so glad it's Monday. I sat watching this Foley thing unfold and realized that I was, you know, and please, let's all realize we're being had with this. We're talking about this. We're getting it out of our system. Tomorrow we'll get back to talking about the fact that, oh, by the way, the United States now sanctions torture. Okay? Okay. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366.
Music of exceptional quality has resulted
in
the unthinkable. Hell has frozen over. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. A gunman stormed into an Amish schoolhouse this morning in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. The truck driver shot three girls execution style before committing suicide. Seven others were taken to area hospitals, many of them in critical condition. An official said the man was, quote, acting out to achieve revenge for something that happened 20 years ago, end quote, but did not elaborate. In Florida, former Representative Mark Foley has checked into a facility to treat his alcoholism and behavioral problems. He resigned on Friday following reports that he exchanged sexually inappropriate messages with an underage page. Florida State Legislator Joe Negron has been named as his replacement on the November ballot. Meanwhile, House Speaker Dennis Hastert said today that he's disgusted by the Internet exchanges and that he would have demanded Foley's resignation if he had known about them. Hastert and a colleague say new measures will be taken to help keep pages safe. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice denies that she was told before the September 11th attacks that an attack was being planned in the U.S. She said she was meeting with then-CIA head George Tenet at the time, and she would not have ignored such a warning. That allegation was made in journalist Bob Woodward's new book, State of Denial. Rice is now in Saudi Arabia for the first part of a Middle Eastern tour, meant in part to help jumpstart the peace process. Other discussions will focus on the Iranian nuclear standoff and the situations in Iraq and Lebanon. In Iraq today, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki unveiled a peace plan that he hopes will end the bloodshed between Sunnis and Shiites. Local commissions made up of each of the parties would oversee security forces. A central committee would coordinate with the armed forces. The plan was announced hours after 14 more people were kidnapped, the second mass kidnapping in as many days. At the United Nations today, South Korea's foreign minister won an informal poll to be named the next Secretary General. An official poll will be taken later this month, but today's action all but ensures his appointment. In Washington today, President Bush said the United Nations should immediately send a peacekeeping force to Sudan. He says the UN should send the force despite a refusal by the Sudanese government to accept it. And in Washington today, the Supreme Court began its new term. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business and Science News is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Senate has confirmed a new director of the National Park Service. Mary Bomer spent her career as an employee of the Interior Department. President Bush is expected to sign a bill this week that will make it against the law for finance companies to use Internet gambling sites to collect credit card payments. Today, shares in online gambling companies listed in London lost more than half their value. The American Journal of Psychiatry finds that men are about as likely as women to go on shopping binges. The study shows that 5.5% of men are compulsive buyers compared to 6% of women. The Census Bureau predicts that sometime this month, the U.S. population will reach the 300 million mark. The U.S. has the third largest population in the world behind China and India. In September, the U.S. manufacturing sector grew at its slowest pace in more than a year. A trade group blames weaker U.S. auto sales and a slow housing market.
The Commerce Department reports that in August, construction projects spending unexpectedly went up 0.3%, its biggest gain in 11 months. Two private equity firms have offered $15 billion to purchase Harrah's Entertainment. The Las Vegas-based company operates 40 casinos. Light Sweet Crude settled today at $60.92. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 9 points, NASDAQ down 21, S&P 500 down 6. You can hear more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Yes, I am. 10 minutes after the hour. And we'll go straight to the phones. David is with us, calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. I think I have something of interest to your listeners tonight.
Is this?
I don't think anyone's going to mention it because it's really, really under the radar. But
okay.
What I have right now is there is somebody tipped on Free Market News that there is several big spikes in put options. One for the diamond market. This is what they did before 9/11. One for the gold market. One for the S&P depository market. And one for the, I think that's about it. But the significance of that is it's a really big spike, and that's exactly what happened after the.
Yeah, these before 9/11, there was a big spike in put options on the airlines, weren't there?
Right. I just wanted to mention that in passing, just in case it's significant later down the line or whatever.
Okay. Well, we were you at least made us cognizant of it.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about. You know, it's funny how Foley wasn't. I don't think Foley was part of the Cool Club. Do you in the Republican GOP party?
You know, he was listed as a moderate, or at least that's the early breaking news stories called him a moderate, David. So that tells me that he was not. You know, I mean, well, now wait. Part of the Cool Kids Club? Maybe not, but he was deputy whip.
Now let's just say. For the what if scenario. What if your party was so much in damage that you would do anything to protect the president? Would you throw someone under the bus?
Absolutely.
Right in time for Woodward?
Yeah.
I think you would.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way this all works out. It was all Woodward all weekend, and I'm talking about Mark Foley, and I'm being had. I'm being suckered.
You know what? I think it's a. It's a no-win situation for the GOP because they're doing everything they can. That's one thing. But the second point is this, is that while you and me are talking, no one in the media seems to be picking up yet that the Eisenhower aircraft carrier is on its way to the Persian Gulf, and it should arrive there by October 21st. So you just do some probability in your head what that could mean.
Well, and I also understand what the battle plans are for the Straits of Hormuz. You know, that's the single, that's the bottleneck to the Persian Gulf. And that's where all hell is supposedly going to break loose. And that's where the Eisenhower is headed.
Right. And I'm sure we're going to hear about that in the following weeks about something or other. But one of the things that I wanted to get back on track on Foley was this guy's really an idiot, and I'll tell you why. Because if you look on Raw's story, it says this guy could be facing a third-degree felony because he actually gave his location in one of his names.
Oh, really?
Florida.
Sure. Oh, he said, I'm in Pensacola right now,
right.
Yeah.
And supposedly, and then you have some conservative activists who are really pressuring Hastert to resign, which I fully support.
Yeah, he should. Frankly, he won't. There was a comment by, I think, Alec Baldwin over at Huffington Post earlier today talking about what you do in the voting booth when you go in, and I couldn't resist, and I don't even know if it ever made it on there, but I posted a comment pointing out the fact that John Lash Hastert's opponent, you're not going to find a finer man running for Congress, a finer person running for Congress in the entire United States right now. I mean, he has served his country. He is a union carpenter.
Right.
He's incredibly intelligent. He has a background in intelligence itself from the first Gulf War.
I found Dennis Hastert's reaction when Congress was going to be fully investigated, how he ran to the floor. This kind of makes sense now. And someone mentioned to me, gave me a tip that Wayne Madsen had a story. I don't know if somebody can dig this up, but Wayne Madsen had a story where there were allegations when Hastert was a gym teacher that he was abusing his students.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least, David.
I know. And one of the things I just sent you regarding the Foley thing is it's a page.
The page ceremony? I'm looking at the transcript right now.
And you know what's funny about it? Just looking at some, I mean, just looking at some of the lines, you would think Michael Jackson wrote some of these.
Yeah.
I mean,
Neverland Ranch, Michael.
Yeah, when he talks about how he wanted to hug his pages. I mean, right here is where you start to get suspicious.
Yeah.
And he starts talking about when he says, you're all bipartisan too, huh? When he talks about how this one girl was crying and said, I'm going to lose my friend Rachel, and then one of them was a Democrat.
Right.
To me, that strikes of him as a Freudian slip of him being bisexual. I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but you know.
I don't know if this. I don't at this point, David. I don't know if you can read too much into this.
I know. And the funny thing about the whole Foley thing is that I don't think anyone should let go of this story. But on the other side, we're done with Foley people. They're going to do the investigation. The other people is what I'm concerned with.
Well, longer. Yeah, at this point, it's no longer about Foley.
Right.
It's about Hastert.
Right.
It's about Boner.
You got to take down Boner, Reynolds, Shimkus, just as many as you can.
Yeah, and Reynolds is the head of the, I kept saying Sullivan, Reynolds is the head of the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he was writing checks. He was writing checks to Foley as recent as May.
You know how stupid, this is how stupid Foley was. He actually did the legislation for the cyber bill. It's going to get him in a whole heap of damn trouble.
Yeah, I think back to that photograph and Bush's remarks when he says, we've set up a SWAT team for protecting our children. And I'm, Foley may, SWAT what?
That to me is like a Freudian.
SWAT where and for how much, you know?
That to me is like a Freudian S&M movie made by changing the laws. I mean, maybe he knew subconsciously that he was going to get caught and he wanted to get tortured for it.
Well, but then again, if you look back and frankly, it's the only viable comparison we have, David.
Right.
If you look back to the moralists of the Third Reich, there were no weirder, kinkier people in the world than the highest echelons of Hitler's government. Real live, honest to God weirdos.
I guess one of the most important issues on something like the Foley thing is how do you keep the ball on the primetime players in this scandal? And to me, like I said, Foley's already down. And I mean, you can keep saying Foley all you want, but the thing that the media needs to remember is Hastert, Boner, Reynolds, all of these people are guilty under these cyber laws.
But they're already working their rear ends off, the media are, to get this away from those people. When you've got people out there saying things like, this was, it's not like this had never happened before. It was Barney Frank in the early 80s. Well, you know what? That's a lie, David, because Barney Frank did not abuse a child.
I honestly think that Hastert is going to get taken down sooner or later. I don't know from what, probably from something like this.
Well, I hope that John Lash can get some momentum out of this and really use it to point out to his advantage that the people in Illinois, 14th district, have a choice.
I think a bigger issue too is the circulation of stories that don't reach all the congressmen when it should, and the people that should be held accountable immediately. If if something was like Foley, what they should have done with somebody like Foley, as soon as they found out, they should have said, you're going to resign tomorrow, and that's going to be the end of it. You're going to say, whatever. That's what they should have done. But you see, the problem is
But see, they were afraid to let the cat out of the bag 6 months ago because they figured they'd get hammered with it for 6 months, and then the thing would blow up, would really blow up in their face. The fact that they sat on it for 6 months, David, is what makes me think that the roots go a little bit deeper than anybody suspects.
You know what I think? You know what I think this has to do with? I think that this is more goes to a Karl Rove's man-child type of roots. He's probably guilty of it, too, and they just need another person. I mean, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of man-children in the Capitol Hill, and they're on the higher echelon, so to speak.
Well, you know, when you get that much power, ordinary stuff, I guess, can become boring, can't it, David?
Well, you know, you got to remember the penthouse's version of Caligula. We might be dealing with that at the
White. I wonder from time to time. I truly do.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. I want to share a little bit of this the quotes from this page ceremony with folks, David. I appreciate you sending it along.
Okay, no problem.
This is beautiful stuff.
I mean, the thing to keep in mind. I mean, when you guys read it, is that you have to look at the overall picture of how this guy just keeps going on and on and on about the pages and his adoration of them. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, it does go on and on. David, thanks so much.
All right, no
and thanks
problem.
And thanks for the tip on the put options.
Yeah, later.
All right, bye now. Yeah, so this is from a couple or 3 years ago. I guess they have a page ceremony every time a page class enters and a page class leaves. Mr. Shimkus says, I thank my colleague, now someone who spends a lot of time with you also, the gentleman from Florida, Mr. Foley, would like to say a thank you. Now, this goes on for pages. I'm not kidding. Wrong page. And this is what he says. I warn all of you not to cry in front of me, please. So I can get through this very important day with you without shedding tears as well. First, I want all of you to salute two people that I know at times were tough on you. They are taskmasters. They are disciplinarians. But they love you in an incredibly personal way. Whew. I would like all of the pages to clap for Ms. Sampson and Ms. Evester, your supervisors. Ms. Sampson is on the back rail. She does not like to come too close here because she may cry too. And she does not want any of the kids before you depart on Saturday to see her being a vulnerable person. It's true. I hear so much laughter here, and I'm glad that there's laughter, because this is a wonderful time of your life. Every time we celebrate the departure of a page class, we remember your first day here, and of course, we are here at your last. You came in very shy and meek and very polite, and for the most part, you remained polite, but no longer shy and meek. You've taken on your respective roles as junior members of Congress, and oftentimes I get a kick when I walk by the back row. Mr. Foley, please mention the pages so our parents will hear us on C-SPAN. The nice thing about today is you're on C-SPAN, and this is recorded, and you will get to see this replayed, and you will get to see your faces now assembling as if you were members of Congress. Some probably cannot wait to leave and get back and see your best friends and loved ones, and some are anguishing about your departure. Mary Kate Leonard was on the back row crying. I asked why. She said, I'm losing my best friend, Rachel. I said, really? Where's Rachel? Oh, Rachel's a Republican page. I said, oh, you're all bipartisan too, huh? Because Mary Kate is a Democrat, which shows how friendships can cross an aisle and cross ideological divide. So I asked Rachel to come from the cloakroom, and she thought I was kidding, to join her friend who was crying. And I said, I can't let her cry alone. You have to be out here to be part of this. Now I've got you both crying, and I'm starting to well up. I've got a lot of other stories, of course, Christopher made sure I came out of the cloakroom to see that his mother and family were sitting up in the gallery this morning as I quietly mentioned to him, "Remember, we're not allowed to gesture to the gallery." He said, "Oh, just wave to her so she knows I'm important." He is important, and she is above us now. You can go read this at Washington Watchdog, all one word, WashingtonWatchdog.org. And this is on and on and on. And here's some, I said, "Where do you want to go?" Okay. And of course, Melanie, and finally, John Eunice. John was the highest bidder on Lunch with Mark Foley. Oh, hell. Maybe you all do not know this story, but John had paid considerable sums to dine with me. I'd offered to take the winning bidder to lunch in the members' dining room. Then I heard how much John Eunice paid, and I said, "John, there is no way in the world, after you committed so much money to have lunch with me, that I would dare take you downstairs to eat in the members' dining room." I said, "Where do you want to go?" He says, without reservation, "Morton's." I said, "Morton's, like in Morton's Steakhouse?" He said, "Oh, would that be too much?" I said, "Oh, no, we'll go." I said, "Call your mother, get permission, make sure she notifies the clerk, and we'll go to Morton's." And so we proceeded to cruise down in my BMW to Morton's, and all this story is meant to make you all feel jealous that you were not the high bidders. So we went to Morton's, and I do not know where you all went. Go have a look. I tell you what, let's go to the phones. Albert is calling from Wisconsin.
Yeah, good evening, Bob.
Hey, Albert, welcome to the program. Glad to hear from you. Nice to make your acquaintance.
Oh, me too. You know, this whole disgusting situation, which just gives me the... All right, hold on. Let me hang on my stomach here.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the Franklin incident, which was back in the 80s, the Franklin cover-up.
Yep.
And we all remember Johnny Gosch, you know, who...
Who disappeared.
Disappeared, and then all of a sudden, Mr. Jeff Guckert, or Gannon, Jeff Gannon...
Right.
...came bouncing in and asking, "Oh, well, you know, the slimy Democrats, what are you going to do, you know?" Then they're trying to tackle the war and terror and all the... softball questions that guy was lobbing. But it is interesting that we see these scandals going on. One of the things that bothers me the most of all the entire situation is what they've done to the word liberal.
Yeah.
You know, they make the word liberal like it's the Antichrist, and the word liberal is liberty and freedom and open-mindedness and generous and all the best things that this country stands for.
Precisely.
And these people are pedophiles running sex rings. I mean, what is this page program? Is it really to get boys and, you know, girls involved in politics, or is it just to get these people some eye candy and maybe get a little lucky, you know, taking them to, what is it, Morgan's or whoever's Signature's Steakhouse or whatever it is that they go to? It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And then you hear people like, what was his name? Drudge. Did you hear what he said?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. This guy's sitting there going, "Well, those 16 and 17-year-olds are beasts," he says. They're blaming the kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, what are you... Well, you know...
You know, we're out there, we're around all these Lolitas, and we just can't control ourselves.
Yeah, you know, they got them pheromones pumping, and... Well, we got to do, you know, we can't resist. It's like, what are you talking about?
You're turned on by children. I know. And see, the thing, now watch next, Albert. Watch what happens next. There will be an absolute scurrying, the filth digging. They will do everything in their power to find a Democrat doing this in the present, so that they can say, "Well, this was a bipartisan scandal." I don't know if you caught Meet the Whore yesterday with Tim Russert, but he's sitting there asking questions, and all of a sudden he said, I forget who it was. It was a debate between two candidates. And at one point he said, "Well, of course, you know, Jack Abramoff gave a third of his money to Democrats."
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's just an out and out, no bones about it, straight up, face on lie.
No doubt.
They can't find a nickel of Jack Abramoff's actual money going to a Democratic candidate. Now, some of the Indian tribe monies went to Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack Abramoff never gave a stinking penny to a Democrat.
And
wait, weren't they, didn't they go to Rota? See, now, when I was in the Navy, I'm a veteran. When I was in the Navy, I was stationed in Guam, and that's in the Micronesia island chain. And we got big bases there, and we all know that, you know, we all know what's there. And there's that island Rota, or the Saipan, I can't remember which one it is.
I thought Rota was in Spain.
Old sweatshop, remember?
Oh, no, no, no. You're talking about the Northern Marianas. Yeah.
Marianas, yes. And they go, Tom DeLay, you know, we Republicans believe that this is, you guys uphold all our values. Sweatshops, child sex rings. I mean, when are the people, and I hope that this is, I mean, it's disgusting is it to say, but this is almost good news. Because what is it going to take? That's what I keep saying to my friends, and we always say, what is it going to take for us to wake up and, like, and be patriots and wake up to this disgustingness? I mean, I don't let anybody slide. If I hear anything, I mean, I was having dinner, and, I mean, yeah, I was hearing this guy is in the Army, you could tell. And, oh, he was just, oh, we got to bomb the hospitals and kill all the people, and that will solve the Middle East problem. And, I mean, the intellectual capacity of somebody to say something like that, I didn't taste my food for the rest of the night.
Ugh.
Now I got to sit here and listen to this with the...
Sorry.
Come on. Barney Frank, oh, he's gay. So?
Yeah. And
did he go after children? No. What does he have to do with it, Miss Coulter?
I know. And of course, you know, there was, you know, you can hear it in Tony Snow's appearance with Solenoid O'Brien this morning. Well, there were much more serious sex scandals in the past, Monica.
Naughty emails. And didn't you like how they framed the sun? Like, maybe the interview went a little longer than they anticipated, where it looked like the halo was, you know, they like to frame Bush with, he's always got the halo around his, or the crown, and the, you know, the cross, and these, you know, those still pictures where, you know, he's got the little halo of light. Or,
right, right. And, yeah, I noticed that on Tony Snow this morning,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I'm like, too slimy. I'll be nice. But I think Snow is worse than Ari Fleischer and worse than Scotty, Simple Scotty.
Oh, beyond a shadow of it, I miss Scotty now.
Almost, because Scotty just couldn't say anything. He just would sit there and go, we're under an investigation, and it's an under investigation, and he'd stutter and spit, and, you know, he'd sweat.
Yeah, we're investigating. Can't comment.
Snow has no soul. This guy has no soul at all. He just sit there and, well, you know, this is a bipartisan thing, and, you know, the Democrats are, I did like how, what's that, Democratic strategist. He did hand that, what's her name? Clint? What's her name? Did you see that? He just handed her hat to her, where she was like, well, this is bipartisan. He lists off all the Republican problems and stuff like that. But it is amazing. And then they call it the liberal media. Liberal media.
Yeah, I know. I wonder when that's going to stop working. I mean, because no,
I don't let it slide. I mean, I don't let it slide.
No, I don't either.
It has to be. Democracy's in the streets. I mean, we have a representative government, but our democracy's in the streets. I mean, if it's at the gas station, when you're at the store, you ever see someone when you're at a store with them, I mean, you'll just make a phrase or comment or something. They'll say something, or you'll see something in the tabloids and you'll laugh at it, or maybe the TV's on and some. I remember back, I was in the hospital with my wife, and, you know, this is during the election of 2004, and the Swift Boat ads came on. And I sat there right in the waiting room and said, this is a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
You guys can't listen to this. This is ridiculous. You can't listen to this.
Or, you know, you'll hear somebody out somewhere, you know, well, you know, Clinton, Monica, blah, blah, blah. Or, we have to fight them there, so we won't have to fight them there. And the best, you know, I've found that one of the best strategies in the world is to look them square in the eye and go, you're kidding, right?
No doubt.
Because
no doubt.
Because then they know that you're not buying what they're selling, but if they're true believer enough, they will they'll go on and explain it to you. I mean, it breaks my heart when I deal with a lot, you know, West Virginians on a per capita basis will give more to any war effort in terms of blood and sacrifice over history than any other state in the Union.
Well, Jessica Lynch? How did that? Because she was from West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a big scam.
No, sure, that was a big lie. But, you know, she got a college education out of it.
Yeah.
And you know, more power to her. And she's still trying to recover from it. She's still not right. You know, then you know, the poster child from the dark side of the Iraq War was a West Virginian too, Lindy England.
Oh yeah.
But you know,
another. I mean.
Yeah, we send a lot of people over there. So you know, this guy's telling me the other day about how, you know, well, my son's going to the Iraq War You know, I said, oh, geez, that's terrible, man. Yeah, well, that's all. We got to fight them there, so we won't have to fight them here. After the nerve of them people attacking us on our own soil, and I can't let that crap go by anymore.
No, you just can't. I mean, just, there is no sense to a statement like that. There's no sense whatsoever. I mean, to sit there and say we're going to. I mean. I got to repeat it because I say this to everyone. I mean, you don't go and kill 100, you know, conservative estimate of 130,000, 150,000 people with bombs, anything. And don't think that now there may be a real attack with Iraqis or someone. I mean, we are generating such hatred.
Yes.
Now we're legalizing torture. It's just, it doesn't end. It doesn't end. It's just, I mean.
Well, and you know, do these Republicans, Howard, do they think that the foreign media and the Al Jazeera and so forth, do they think that they're not covering the fact that we have now announced that we are formally going to torture their people? It's, you know, it's making it over there. The global village is real, and the world is only as big as the speed of light.
It's smaller now. You can't run anywhere. You can't go anywhere. I mean, you have to go to Papua New Guinea and live in a cave or something in order to really get away from anything. But, I mean, my friend just told me this man wanted to get satellite TV. I'm not sure if you heard it. I didn't see the article. I was at a shop when I was talking to him about it. And he described to me how this man wanted to get Al Jazeera on a satellite, you know, Al Jazeera America. He got arrested for Homeland Security. Or some nonsense.
Oh,
like
yeah. The guy who was selling the programming, yeah, got taken down as a terrorist abettor. I don't know that it was Al Jazeera. Maybe it was Al Arabiya, or you know, maybe it was one of those. But yeah, boom. You're a terrorist, which completely blows my mind because, oh, back 4 years ago or so when we had my father up at Cleveland Clinic for some heart work, we stayed in the guest house across the street there. And, you know, it's set up for Cleveland. It's a hotel. It's set up for Cleveland Clinic patients. And about a dozen of the cable channels that are available in room are Middle Eastern satellite channels.
Oh, yeah.
Is Cleveland Clinic a terrorist abettor now?
Of course.
And, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, soap operas in Arabic. I mean, we're talking about mullahs sitting on the rug declaiming about what the Quran means.
Essentially, it's the Jerry Falwells and the Pat Robertsons of America in the Middle East.
Yeah, right. And it was right there on that. It was right there on that cable channel. But we got a guy. I think what is he from the Bronx or something? And he's being charged as an aider and abettor of a terrorist organization because he sold satellite programming. Yeah, no kidding. I'm glad you brought that up because I'd forgotten about it.
Yeah, well, and that's the other problem is there's such. As Jello Biafra and a few other men said, you know, don't hate the media, become the media.
That's what we're trying to do.
Exactly. I mean, we have to sit there. There is so much out. Just as we said, light speed is, you know, the size of the earth now. I mean, there is so much information that goes by. No one can keep up with it all. It is a full-time job in order to just keep up with this information that is just literally bombarding us from all angles. And I can understand, like, I have friends, and I wouldn't, you know, I don't want to, they're a little more simple, you know, they're more in their own ether of America, and, you know, they haven't read the books of, like, Howard Zinn's, you know, History of the United States. They think Christopher Columbus was a great guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everything we've ever done was grand, and we just relocated the Native Americans. We didn't, you know.
Well, you know, that's interesting you would bring that up because I was reading something about the Spanish conquest of Mexico last night. And, you know, the Spaniards came and told the indigenous Tlaxcala and Texcocans and Mexica and so forth that they were being liberated from their rulers. You know, this European notion of liberation has an ugly habit of getting people dead.
Yo, no doubt.
You believe, or don't you? Oh, you're a witch, aren't you?
Yeah.
Die.
Yeah, we're going to liberate your soul. Yeah. Oh, brother. Yeah. Albert, so good to hear from you.
You too, Bob. I appreciate the call, and I look forward to talking to you in the future. Keep on rocking.
We're going to try.
We can do.
All right. Take care.
All right,
bye now. And onward to our good friend Mike. Or Wayne.
Hey.
Hey, Wayne.
How you doing?
Doing good. You?
Real good. Albert was the first time caller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very good.
From Wisconsin.
Yeah, good. That, well, kind of what he was talking about with all the information out there. You know, I think that people have to be called on the carpet about this thing with the whole Foley thing. I mean, you know, like they are trying to hide this so bad. I listened to our right-wing station this morning.
Okay.
Purposely, you know.
Yeah, you subjected it. You subjected yourself to it on purpose.
To that horror, and, you know, just so I could see. And, I got a few phone calls in between. I'm sure I could have missed it. But I did get on line, I don't know, 11 o'clock or something like that. And I told him, I said, I haven't heard anything about this Foley thing. Oh, we talked about it.
Yeah.
And I just went into a whole thing, and I told him, I said, look, man, if Foley had a D after his name instead of an R, you'd have started off this program with that. That would have been the whole show. You'd still be yelling and screaming about it now. And that's a very true thing. And I think it's, you know, part of what we have to do is call these right-wing stations and remind them about this incident. Don't let them talk about other things. And I also brought to them that, you know, there's a lot of people that quote Bible verses and all kinds of things on that show, people that call in. And, you know, I reminded them that the President of the United States now has the right to torture or determine whether you live, die, or what the rest of your life will be.
Yeah, or just rot away in a jail somewhere, sure.
And that any of these people that support that, and most of them do, how they could possibly call themselves a Christian and a follower of Christ is totally beyond me.
Yeah.
And I think that needs to be said. And I think we need to tell, you know, we all have friends that are on the other side, and we just avoid that, you know. I think we don't avoid that anymore. You know, we tell our aunts or uncles or friends or whatever, you're wrong. These people are, you know, we have to keep this alive. And we have to start, you know, because these are good people. They're just very confused. You know, they bought into
something that they thought was a belief system that turned out to be everything other than what they purchased.
And everything that they profess to believe. And
it's been turned on its ear. It's none of the above, and they've been had.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. Maybe you approach them by saying, you know, look, I feel sorry for you. You've been suckered. You've been had. And, you know, I'm here to tell you that, you know, there's no ill will.
None at all.
You know, welcome to the light. Welcome to decency. Come on right in.
But please help us get rid of these people.
Yeah.
Because they're bad for America.
I can't think of anything more appropriate than for our good friend, the union carpenter, John Lash, to beat Denny Hastert.
My God, wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be wonderful.
He should have, Hastert should resign also.
Yeah.
When I was arguing with the guy about this torture bill, his argument was we're dealing with people that cut off people's heads. I said, you know, get over it, man. Dead is dead.
So therefore, we should cut off people's heads too.
Right. And, I mean, they didn't invent that for us. Haven't they been cutting heads off there for...
Well, yeah, and if then, and frankly, but even if that, I mean, no, that's a very effective way of ending a human life. But, you know, even if that's the fact, if they start cutting heads off for all they can do tomorrow, they can't cut off enough heads to come up with to equal the number of civilians that we've slaughtered with missiles and rockets and smart bombs.
No, yeah, but that don't count, Bob. They cut off the guy's head.
you know, I mean, that's...
So what? It doesn't matter? It doesn't... Okay, so you, if you cut it off, it's bad. If you blow it off, it's not so much?
Right. It, there you go. You know, so, I, you know, I ended our conversation with, so your answer to the whole terrorist problem is that we should become more barbaric than they are. That's what we should do. We shouldn't stand for anything. We should be more barbaric than they are. And I hung up.
Yeah, but only so long as we're singing the national anthem while we're being barbaric.
Right, well, and then, you know, the next call was I was un-American and I hated my country.
Yeah, well, yeah. You probably forgot the lessons of 9/11.
Yeah, the whole nine yards. And I bet that was coming from a non-veteran because the host of that show, you know.
Yeah.
Why is that? All the warmongers are non-veterans.
Because if you're a non-veteran and you've never heard a shot fire in anger, you know, war looks pretty cool from that perspective. You know, there's lots of stuff blowing up. It's a big fireworks show, and you walk around, you get your picture taken with a Marlboro hanging off your lip, and you get to ride cool stuff that blows other stuff up, you know, tanks and Humvees with machine guns, and it's all just like playing war when you were 8 years old. You know, a lot of these people...
All those great humanitarian tools.
Yeah, and a lot of these people have stunted moral and psychological development. They are still 8 years old. I played with toy guns when I was 8 and 10. I thought they were really cool, and we'd play war in the backyard or up in the woods or whatever. But after a little while, you know, the images I was seeing on TV of the Vietnam War coming home, and I realized war wasn't so cool after all.
No, you really do get blown up.
And
that is so intensified in this war. The wounds, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
The wounds are much more severe.
And the thing is, you know, the science has gotten to where we can help people survive, as in staying alive. But, you know, without adequate funding, Wayne, staying alive does not equal quality of life. So,
well, listen, I've said this before, and, well, I would bet it's true. I bet, you know, some of those guys are probably laying there thinking without any arms or missing organs or, you know,
right,
whatever, and thinking the lucky bastard was the one that died. You know, I know that's a terrible statement. But
no, but, you know, Mike Callahan was on the program earlier and talking about...
Oh, tonight?
Yeah, the nurse...
Not a union meeting, man.
Well, you got to go
you know,
to those.
Presidents. We got to...
You're important, dude.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with
you. But, you know, he was talking about a nurse that he met in Martinsburg who was over in the Gulf. And, you know, and she was talking about some of the horrible things she saw. And she was talking about her three other friends that were there with her. And she said, I'd love for you to hear their stories, but they've committed suicide.
Oh.
You know, and that's happening, and it doesn't get reported, and, you know, and the mainstream media doesn't pick up on it. But, you know, you see it, you know, you'll see it in little local stories here and there. Man commits suicide, and it turns out that, you know, lo and behold, he was in Iraq last year. And, yeah, there is a connection between the two, you know?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. You know, that's why I'm telling I think anybody that's listening, there's all these local right-wing shows. Call them up and call them on this thing. Why aren't they talking about this thing? Why isn't this disgraceful?
Why can't you talk about Mark Foley without bringing up Bill Clinton?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, they're, you know, these people are...
Say what you will about Monica and say what you will about Bill. They were both consenting adults.
And that they were, my goodness.
Wayne, so good to talk to you. We got to roll on. I got one more call I want to get in before the end of the show.
Get in there.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye now. And we roll on to our buddy Mike.
Luke.
One of you biblical authors. Hey, Luke, how's it going?
At least I'm not Ezekiel. You know how it is.
Yeah, that's the truth. I probably couldn't say it at this point.
It's for like, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. Going to court right now, having that taken care of. But
yeah, we thought about naming our son Salathiel. Agnes got me over that in a real hurry.
I was going to say that's just a lot of crying later in life.
Well, you know, kind of had to apply a brick to my head to get me away from it. But
life.
Oh, she looked at me and said, "Can you imagine what the children are going to do to him on the playground?"
No, it's like I said, I was sitting there today listening to all this, and the thing it got to me was I'm sitting there going, okay, let's see. We have Mr. and I'll use his original name, Mr. Christie.
Yes.
And then we hear him from Mr. Drudge, and I'm sitting there going, these are not the two people you want out talking your points, fellas.
I'm just back from a trip to the Dominican Republic where I was doing little boys, and let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with Mark Foley. My friends,
yes. That's why I took those Viagras on the boys-only weekend. But that's another whole story we won't go into.
Well, you know, I've got the Rush comment here, and this is...
I'm sitting there going, about the only thing that could have been any better was if he'd had a special guest by the name of Jeff Gannon. That's about the only thing I was waiting on.
Well, it was amazing. I mean, he really did hit the peak of slime. He compared, and oh God, I can't find it now. But he compared the Mark Foley pedophile scandal to the Pope's comments about Muslims.
Oh God!
No. He said, you know, my friends, they never laid a hand on any of these children. I was just communicating with them via the internet. This is just like the thing with the Pope. They're just words.
No, not anymore. When you're using the internet, it's now a crime.
Yeah, a crime that
Thank
he helped.
Mark Foley.
Yeah, a crime that he helped write. I mean, this is the textbook definition of hung on your own petard. I don't know. Maybe we change it to getting hung on your own Foley.
It could be. Yeah, that might make the world book in a couple of years as a new part of the language. Congratulations. Welcome to Hoist on the Foley.
Well, these are the words of Flush. The release of all this was not to save the children. It was not to take a predator off the streets. This was a strategic move to help the Democrats. They could have known it before the Republicans. It would appear so. And then he blamed concealing the emails, get this, Luke, on Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, God. But you knew this was coming.
Yeah, you're going to run your head into the wall with me, aren't you?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I tell you what, the one thing I was listening when I was listening to y'all talk to your last couple of people there on the line was, you know, it's like this thing where you were talking about the thing with Russert.
Yeah.
I watched part of that with the DeWine and...
It was DeWine and Sherrod Brown.
Sherrod Brown, that's it. And I was sitting there going, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, say, we got to quit laughing when they make some of these comments and just jump down their throat.
Well, see, that kind of disappointed me about Sherrod Brown because he let Flush make that, Russert,
yeah.
See how interchangeable they are? he let Russert make that comment about fully a third of Abramoff's money went to Democrats. You know, and he didn't call him on it, Luke.
I know.
We have got to start calling people
well,
on this crap.
Exactly. We've got to turn it where they could have just as easily. I was sitting there, I wrote something to Kurtz today, which, of course, didn't make his Washington Post thing, but I was sitting there going, you know what? I seem to remember the White House saying that, well, Mr. Abramoff only visited three times, and it was during holidays. And I go, well, okay, Mr. Snow, now you have 482 more to tell me why he was there. Because you counted three, okay, now
yeah.
Let me know there's 485. Start counting.
But, you know, they won't. And you know, Howie Kurtz, Howie's a sleaze.
I do that sometimes, they'll do just to let off steam, you know what I mean? I'll send them a thing, and I was sitting there going, and I put the same comment to him I put into you when I sent you the email. Does Mr. Abramoff pay rent, or does he lease the space at the White House?
Oh, I know. And a great Jack Cafferty moment this afternoon.
Oh, which one was this?
All the stuff I've left alone and not gotten to, sooner or later, I'm going to wind up doing a six-hour show, you know? Over the weekend, or in the last 3-4 days, Alberto Gonzalez showed up at a lecture somewhere, and he lectured and shook his finger at the Supreme Court and told them, how dare they interfere with a wartime president. Okay? So Cafferty covered all of this, and he said, you know, Alberto Gonzalez needs to eat a lot more Cracker Jacks. And I'm sitting there, well, this has got to be good. It's coming. It's coming. And he says, because sooner or later, he's going to find a law degree in one.
Maybe he'll find a copy of the Constitution. Maybe he can figure out what it means.
But it's just these people, I don't know. Have I lost the ability to be shocked, Luke? I don't know.
Well, you know, it's like in the mornings, my day, usually I'm listening to radio, you know what I mean, when I'm working, and I listen to Stephanie Miller. And I like listening to her early in the morning, you know what I mean? And when they do their Alberto Gonzalez, they have the fellow that does her voice, the voices, you know, Jim Ward.
Yeah.
He does it, as I call it, the evil version of Mr. Rogers.
That's I've heard it a couple of times. He's very good.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things, you know, it's like he comes across as very benign, but you're sitting there going, this is the same guy that every time George Bush was ready to execute somebody was supposed to come in and tell him why he should think about it. And you got a feeling he was in there sitting there going, George, can I help push the button this time?
Oh, I know. Yeah, Gonzalez is one of those people, if he participated in that famous old study where they where the participants thought they were shocking people, mm-hmm. he'd be like, I want to turn it up. It's straight out of Spinal Tap. You know, this
like,
one
well,
goes.
Work up. Can I just go ahead and hit the 10 button now?
This one goes to 11. You know, I want one that goes to 11.
How about if I push all 10 buttons at once? What'll happen then?
Hey, Luke, we got to roll on. Sorry to keep you waiting so long, man. Thanks for hanging on. Later. Yeah. Really. The release of all this was not to save the children. It was not to take a predator off the streets. This was a strategic move to help the Democrats. Jesus God. Can you only imagine the moral outrage of Flush Flimball if this had been a Democrat? But it won't. You know, it's not a Democrat. Because we're working on being healthy with our sexuality and not letting predators into positions of power. But, you know, we're funny that way because we're all liberal. Thanks, you guys. What a wonderful evening. Tomorrow night we're going to get back to real news. Unless, of course, it turns out that Foley invited one of the pages to go to Tijuana to the donkey show with him, which wouldn't frankly surprise me much. The show tonight was produced by my lovely, talented, darling wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor, engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia, our chief engineer. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams and the archives and podcasting of all the programs for the Head On Radio Network. We simulcast in partnership with Shelby LePre at RadioPower.org and appreciate all of her activities. Remember, October 5th, the World Can't Wait rallies are coming up. Check the website, worldcan'twait.org. See if there's one near you. If there's not one near you, well, make yourself a sign, sit out in the front yard, and be a rally of one. Right? Yeah. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services is our IT professional. Our good friend Gene is the news editor at headonradionetwork.com blog. We have wonderful moderators to whom I am eternally grateful in the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. And, of course, all the programming on the Head On Radio Network takes place because there are several thousand members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day, and you know what they do. They go build the American dream, and because they do that, they support the horn, and we're trying to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
Welcome to the Head On Radio Network, featuring the best of Mike Malloy.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.